In a world where Toku fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail, three man children stand not quite shoulder to shoulder with their trusty spray can at their side, united across timelines and space against the congealed, grimdark 90s inspired hordes. Shuku and Shinobi, Dossum Rifle, Jedi Mom, Aerosol. Their mission, to bring you the latest Toku news in the craziest way possible. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles Season 4. If you don't listen to this show, you don't know anything about Tokusatsu.
Hello, welcome to our Penis. Season 4, Episode 41.
Penis.
From Russia with Love. And Penis. There's a penis that slipped right in there before the title.
Yeah, that happens. Sometimes it just slips on and you can't control it.
Well, the Russians are kind of shaped like them.
True that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dildo changer, and they can change colors and vibration settings. This has gotten off to a great start.
I think this is like start, actually,
this is starting pretty well, considering like the bookend of the way this show is going to end. Kind of perfect opposite subjects.
Look, I love color changing dildos. Okay,
it's like heat activated, or
I don't know.
One of those ones where you sink them into like warm water and then different colors.
The Six Rangers changers based around a flashlight.
Our show, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh man, we could have used that for the gimmick question.
Damn it! Stupid future us.
You can swap out different tops.
Oh my god, it's too much.
An entire gimmick based around dildos.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
Or just blow up dolls. Okay, I'll stop.
Or maybe not just dildos, like just various sex toys.
So I'm actually going to volunteer my one-ups last in hopes that this is done by them.
So, okay.
Dawson gets to start.
Yay, starting.
Okay. Yay, vaginas.
So, despite my best efforts of watching the Tokuger stuff like a hawk, like, I've watched Ami Ami more than I have in, like, forever, and I was still unable to buy things for myself. So, Kevin got me the gun and the pass, and Brian got me Tokyo and the changer, so thanks to them.
Oh, you did get that? When did you get that?
The other day, Brian got it for me in the middle of the night.
From Ami Ami?
Yeah.
I sent you a message that said I got the Tokyo stuff.
Brian, I didn't really read that. All I read was the part where you did not buy me a peach lock seat. That's really all I read.
I tried.
Like, here's what happened is I read, got Dawson.
It's like got milk, but with Dawson.
Like, it says got Dawson in those words. And I said, oh, yeah, you did say that, huh? I just saw got Dawson, peach lock seat. I didn't read the rest of the sentence.
So, I got all that stuff, so I'm happy about that. I just think it's funny, like, how hard I tried to get it myself, and I still couldn't do it. So that is that stuff. I managed to actually get a Greedon and an Ichigo arm set from Mandarake.
Fuck you.
So I'm pretty happy about that.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Sounds like a frog. Anyway, so that's buying stuff. Japanese stuff. I have two little stories. They're nothing really spectacular, considering aerosols involve machetes and danger. It makes me feel bad about any story I think about telling. But I have to talk about how jank Kmart is. So I was looking for the Wave 2 Ranger keys, and I went to my local Kmart, which is 15 minutes away. It's pretty close, and they didn't have them. But every time I would go to ask someone at either of these Kmarts, I got this UPC code here. Can you look it up to see if you have it in the back or if it's on the way? And they would look down at the paper I handed them, and then they would look up at me and say, can you describe it? I'm like, do I need to get a sketch artist in here? And I'm not going to describe it, because every time I've described something to somebody, whether it's on the phone or in person, they always say they have it and then come back with something that's been there forever. And it's like, well, I don't want to confuse you because they're keys, but they don't look like keys. So can you just look up the damn number? And then she had to go find somebody with one of those little hand looker upper things that everybody in Target has. It's so easy in Target. When I found Wave 1, they're like, oh, this code, beep, beep, there's your box. That's what happened at Target because they're advanced.
Beep, so, bub, 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 beep, 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 beep. Was that what?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I had to go to the other one, which is a little farther away. I called them up. And they said that they had it in the back, but they couldn't get it out till the next day. So I went there, and they didn't have it out. But the same thing happened, and, like, they didn't want to look it up. Like, I gave the lady the UPC code, and she walked away with it. And, like, nobody had anything to look up with, and it just seemed like the biggest chore in the world to, like, help me out with it. It was so stupid. But I finally got them, but, God, Kmart is so depressing. I forgot to take a picture of that gate that looked like the visiting hours at Sona. And then today I had a presentation for class, so I thought it would be really funny to, like, way overdress for it, like for Step Brothers did for their interviews. And, like, everybody said they might dress nice, but I ended up being the only one that dressed, like, super fancy, which it was slightly embarrassing, but at the same time it was exactly what I was going for, because I wanted to be really ridiculous because I didn't want to get picked. And I was also really upset because I made a golden ticket for Hollywood, and I was going to have a whole bit about how I got chosen to go to Hollywood, and I forgot to do it. Unfortunately, none of those stories involve my life being in peril, so they're not interesting, but they're fun what happened to me.
I love how the crappiness of Kmart has become a reoccurring thing for our show.
But it is. It's like the Brita of stores. So it's like an insult to Brita. It's like when I went to the one that didn't have it, you always come back, like, really sad. And the one that I went to find it, it looks really shitty and depressing on the outside, and it actually doesn't look that bad on the inside, but there's, like, nobody there. And I think I mentioned that before, that all of their shelves are completely stocked. It's like, it reminds me of the movie Zombieland, when they're just, like, raiding the place. It's like, does anybody shop here?
That's how my Kmart is. The last time we went, like, there's maybe 10 people in the whole store at most that were not employees. Everything is stocked or, like, almost fully stocked. Like, maybe there's, like, some one item missing off of an entire aisle. Like, so it looks like it hasn't been touched. And then we went by the toys, and this, like, the overhead fan is a fucking jet engine. Like, so we were 6 feet apart, couldn't hear each other talk.
Okay, Mart. Like, and their employees screaming. Look like they kidnap Walmart employees and suck the life out of them, which is pretty bad because Walmart employees already don't look that good.
So, yeah, they already, like, had the life sucked out of them, and then what little bit is left, it's gone. Like, those people, I don't know how they get up in the morning and go, I feel good about myself, I work for Kmart.
I don't think they have a computer system. It's really annoying.
They have a card catalog or a library. Go in the back.
Libraries filled with the worst people on earth.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for mine.
So, okay. Well, I missed last week, so I have to talk about Comic-Con.
Better sell than Aerosol.
Yeah, actually, you should. So, I went to New Orleans Comic-Con. Matt Smith was there. I did not meet him. I viewed him from a distance because autographs were $100. And I said, I don't have $100 to spend. And also, my friends are not worth $100 to get them an autograph. Even though Matt asked me, Matt fucking texted me 3 different occasions. Are you sure you're not getting a Matt Smith autograph? Yes, Matt, I'm sure.
It's just like when he, like, went through the system of, like, 7 people to get that damn Samurai exclusive set.
Like, and then it's the third time I've been to Comic-Con and the first time I've actually seen Stan Lee in person. Every time I go past his table, he's not there. So that was the thing. I actually got to see the man. I heard a story. Somebody we were talking to, I forgot who it was. Like, somebody they know, like, bumped into Stan Lee, like, by accident. Didn't realize who he was, or whatever. And, like, the security people just, like, swarm around them. And then when they realize it's, like, oh, it's just, like, somebody's, like, grandma or something that's, like, and, like, they're not, like, some, like, obsessed fanboy.
They're like, picturing, oh, like, a grandmother being thrown down on the ground, a gun pointed at her. We need backup now! Oh, and she presses her life alert button. I've fallen and I can't get up!
Well, like, so that was funny, but, we got a bunch of art prints, which I did not want to take pictures of, all of them, because we seriously got, like, a fuck ton of them. That's a unit of measure. Look it up. Fuck ton. But I did my usual go buy Star Wars Episode 1 figures because I want those little fucking chips. And I found, like, 3 Obi-Wans or something, like two Obi-Wans, 2 Anakins, the Darth Sidious hologram, a Qui-Gon, 2 two Darth Mauls, a Newt Gunray, and then the last figure I got is actually Darth Vader, because they started making them with the regular characters. So I have a Darth Vader with the little chip. So that's pretty cool. Most of them, and I don't know if it's the batteries in my toy or just the shittiness of the toy, but they don't actually sound like the characters at all.
A combination of both.
Yeah, like, the thing is, this stuff's like 15 years old. I really think that, I don't remember it didn't always sound that good from the day I got it, but I don't think I've ever changed the batteries. Or maybe I've changed them like once. I don't know how these batteries have lasted this long, but I've like never changed the batteries in this toy.
I remember you used to cycle the same pair of batteries between all your toys and like your TV remote or something. It was like ridiculous. Well, can't turn on the TV, they're in the morph embrace.
That was the thing. Now I just steal batteries from my parents. I go over there. I need some AAA batteries. For what? Stuff? For toys? For Kaylee? Shouldn't the most American toys take AA batteries? Or just something I've noticed now that I have like a small child who gets battery-operated toys is that all her shit takes AA batteries. All my Japanese shit takes AAAs. I'm like, fuck. I can't just take extra batteries. But like, look, it's for Kaylee's like leap pad or whatever. Like, no, those take AAs, motherfucker. So that's a thing. But we walked around for a while. We went and met Alan. I don't know how you say his name. Tudjik, whatever. Dude, fucking Steve the pirate, dodgeball. That dude was cool. We met him. Got his autograph, and then. So I went,
of all the things he's been in, you.
Well, because you know, well, because the thing is, I know like pretty much everyone in existence has seen Dodgeball.
I haven't,
but I said pretty much. But I didn't know if everyone's like seen Firefly or if they've seen Tucker and Dale, because he's in that. He's in Frozen and he's in fucking Wreck-It Ralph, which is Dawson's favorite movie.
Stupid song.
Exactly. I mean, he's in iRobot, and he's in A Knight's Tale. He's in Justice League War as Superman. He's in Young Justice as Green Arrow. Well, you see what happens, Arisol? You see what happens? I turn into IMDb. Anyway. Then I went I met Manu Bennett from Arrow. He's Deathstroke.
Slade.
He's pretty cool. He was talking to her about it. He's the white orc in The Hobbit. So I got his autograph, and I got the Slade picture. There's a Slade picture, the Deathstroke, his Spartacus character, and the Hobbit thing. And so I got Slade, and then he signed it, whatever, and then he drew the Deathstroke mask over half of his face. So that was pretty neat. I liked that picture. I got a plush Aerodactyl. Like a large one with like the wings move and you can pose the wings, and he's pretty neat. I like him. And I got a Sylveon. I got this kind of price on the Sylveon because I was buying Aerodactyl, and I wanted a Sylveon. We got Kaylee a minion, and we had my sister buy her a bad minion. And we get home, and we gave it to her on Sunday because she was away for the weekend with like her dad's family or something, and. We got her back, and so she goes, we're like, Kaylee, here's a surprise. And she closes her eyes, and I give it to her. She opens them. She squeezes it real tight, drops it on the floor, and then runs and hugs me. So I give her the bad minion. I go, Kaylee, what's this one saying? She goes, bah! She likes to do the little bad minion scream. It's pretty funny when she does it because she's 3 and adorable. And if I do it any louder, I'll probably like wake her up from across the fucking house. Of course, now her thing is the Jungle Book, and she goes around singing the Bare Necessities. And last night when we watched it, she was trying to walk like Mowgli when he's following the elephants. That was pretty funny. But yeah, so we hid that. Who did I meet? Oh, I got an autograph from JDF. I gave that to her, and she was like, "A Power Ranger," and she like runs off. Mom, look, I got Power Ranger. She was all excited. My sister decided to get an autograph Well, we got back in the Manu Bennett line because her boyfriend wanted his autograph from Spartacus. And I got up to him and he was like, "You again?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's me. I brought family this time." Because they were in some Walking Dead cast members line. Because those took fucking forever. They also got Norman Reedus. But I met him last year, so I was like, it was cool. Can do something else. I'm not waiting an hour in line to meet somebody I already met. I'll wait 5 minutes to go meet JDF again just because. But I get up to the front of the line, and it's like $40 for an autograph. Now, granted, the internet said it was like 30, I think.
The black guy got in free. Sorry.
Motherfucker. It was like 40 bucks. It was like 40 bucks for to get a picture, or like if you bought an autograph, it was 20 bucks. I think it's this weird pricing system that only he could understand and like the people at the table with him. So the black dude was like, "I don't want to pay $4 for a picture." So he left. He walks off. People in front of me are getting a picture with him, and the dude's on the other side of the rope. He's like, "Hey, Jason, can I get a picture?" And he's like, "Oh, sure, man," because he likes attention. So this dude got a free fucking picture. Like, I'm like, son of a bitch. Why didn't I think of that? But my sister got back in line with us. We went through. We had to wait for him to do a photo op because they cut the line off. But we go, my sister got she got a poster signed. It has the MMPR cast. And then, with the helmets off. And then she got a picture with him. And then that was 40 or something. It ended up being $80. And then she
40 also for just a picture with him?
It was 40. It was 40 for the poster. No, it was 60 for the poster. It was 40 for regular autograph, 60 for the poster, and then 20 more for the picture.
That's pretty crazy.
But if you get just the picture with him, it's 40.
Stupid JDF.
So then, because she
got, do you think he is Slade? God.
Then, because she spent the $80, she got another smaller picture of him in the Green Ranger suit, signed. And dog tags, which she got the last set of those dog tags. They's always fucking showing off everywhere. Like, "Dude, dog tags. Go to Wizard World, guys. Yeah."
Damn it, JDF.
And he did, he has the picture he put up from Wizard World in New Orleans. I was in the line. You see half my face. He had it saying, "Everybody get a fighting stance." He gets up on a table and takes a picture. It's like, "Yeah." We're like, "Oh,
I think
God.
You were on your phone or something." It looked like you were on your phone.
I was. Well, in the middle of a phone call because that was on Sunday. My girlfriend had to work. So I was talking to her on the phone, and JDF's like, "Yeah, we're going to take a picture." And I'm like, "Oh, fuck, I'm on the phone."
Everyone's like jumping up, and you're just talking on the phone. That's pretty great.
Like, well, I was actually holding it out in front. I was actually in a weird fighting stance with the phone, trying to still listen to the conversation she's having with me. And
what are you doing right now? Getting in a fighting stance? What about you?
I'm getting ready to pose for JDF. What are you doing with your life? So that was a thing, but we walked longer than I thought to get to Popeyes on Saturday because the food at the convention center is shit. You could pay $7 and get three shitty pieces of chicken and almost no fries and feel bad about yourself, or I could go to Popeyes and spend $7 and get an enjoyable meal. So we did that. We walked to Popeyes and we ended up being exhausted from that, but whatever. That was a fun trip.
I thought that something interesting happened at Popeyes that was worth you telling it.
No, just we went to Popeyes.
I could have told you about all the places I ate this week. I went to Chick-fil-A and then I ate and I drove home.
Think fucking Popeyes. Look, I got chicken. I got spicy chicken. Then I put the Cajun sparkle on it. Then I got buffalo sauce. So I had double the stomach killing power. But I'm trying to think if anything else fun happened at Comic-Con. Nope. I don't think so.
I thought that something interesting happened. JDF bought the Popeyes and just started rubbing chicken on himself going, "Yeah." Something interesting had to happen there.
Stan Lee showed up in the middle of JDF's panel, which I didn't get to go to because my girlfriend was just walking around in circles for hours. we didn't get to go to any of the discussion panels or anything. And my sister on the other hand, "We want to do stuff. What was going on?" And so that was kind of weird. We're going to – yeah. So I think we're going to do stuff next year and take control. But be no, you're going to follow us. My sister got a lightsaber. Like one of those combat lightsabers.
Look how random that is. Just all of a sudden, my sister got a lightsaber.
Like, she did. She just, like, we saw them and a lot of people walking around with them, so we finally investigated it. And I had walked off to go buy something, and I come back, and my sister and her boyfriend are like, yeah, she bought a lightsaber. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, she bought a lightsaber. I'm like, son of a bitch. So then, like, he's going to get one. They call it couples therapy. That's the people at the table call it. I mean, instead of beating each other, you just have a lightsaber fight. Because there's special blades that you can just bash the fuck out of each other with them, and they won't break. And it's like this machine metal handle. They look really nice, actually. I want to get one. You can get them that are color changing. You can get them with sound. You can pick pretty much any color you want. They're like really nice. Like those Ultra Sabers, I think they're called. Kaylee started talking to Emma while we watched Super Mega Force. Like, it's funny because I saw somebody, somebody was on Twitter saying about how, like, they wish they'd stop screaming their names. Cause that's the only way Kaylee knows who the fuck they are. Because Emma comes on and she's like, Emma! And Kaylee's like, it's Emma! I love Emma! Her my favorite! And she just starts screaming, hi, Emma! I'm like, she can't hear you. I don't know what you're yelling at her for. She put her ear to the computer. Like, she's like a fucking Indian.
I guess that explains why she can't remember their names without them yelling at her.
Yeah, she's like, and then at one point, like, Emma wasn't on screen, and she's like, that's not Emma. Like, it was fucking, it was like Jake or Noah, or was one of the dudes. She's like, that's not Emma. I'm like, no, it's not. And Gia comes on, and I think she tried to say they're both Emma. I'm like, that's no, that's Gia, that's Emma. Oh. That's my favorite. So yeah, that was a thing. And her cousin came over. We were at my parents' house, and half my toys are still there. And so Matthew, his name's Five, and he were in my room, and I'm showing him my stuff, and he goes, "I go, these are my toys." He goes, "Oh, you used to play with these when you were a kid?" I'm like, "No, these are all brand new." Because it's like the Kyoryuger vinyls and the Go Buster vinyls and Dino Chaser and stuff. And he's like, oh, you used to play with these when you were a kid? I'm like, no, these are all brand new toys. These aren't old. Kaylee picked up my stuff, Link, and goes, I am Peter Pan. I'm like, no, that's Link. Sorry, try again.
Peter Pan is just Rumpelstiltskin's evil dad.
Like, what?
Peter Pan, he's Rumpelstiltskin's evil dad.
Your mom.
He is.
I got my Oki box finally that has every gimmick ever in it, pretty much, and a bunch and some figure arts. My CS Toys box that has like every Rider lock seat ever, just about everyone. I got it registered Sal, which apparently was the mistake. Like, it sat in New York Customs for about a week and a half, and then it finally left Customs. And went to, like, Massachusetts, I think. I think that was a postal code. And then it came down here. On President's Day, when you get no fucking mail, the tracking said arrival at unit. I said, how the fuck did that happen? You didn't deliver mail today. Then the next morning it said sorting complete. I'm like, oh, okay, that's weird. 2 hours later it said tracking not updated. And it just gave me nothing. And it finally showed up, like, Wednesday. I'm like, oh, okay, that's weird, you fucking assholes. Like, so that finally made its way here. Like, I was really pissed off. I'm trying to find it. I called the post office thinking, like, I'm like, where the fuck is my shit? And so I dialed the number from my local post office, and it rings about 8 times, and I get, like, this high-pitched whine in my ear. I'm like, what the hell? Like, these assholes don't even have a working telephone? Like, it's U.S. government at work, apparently. But yeah, so that happened too. I was pretty pissed off. But
it sure did.
I think Aerosol wants to talk now.
No, I don't.
I want to hear about the other phone calls Kevin made.
So Aerosol, what do you have to say?
The highlight of
Imagination
was sure. Honestly, I didn't really do anything. All I did this week was find a possum.
That's already more interesting.
Well, fuck you too, asshole.
Just, more interesting than my Kmart stories and that time I wore a suit to school.
It's not more interesting than Katie singing the Bare Necessities.
More interesting than Popeyes.
Popeyes is always interesting. Yeah. Fuck you. You had the best chicken ever.
Where did you find it? Not the Popeyes. Possum.
It was outside. There were like boxes sitting on the street, on the curb. And I saw something rumbling around and I thought it was like a cat or something. And I went to check and it was a possum.
Was it Fairway Frank? The possum also did that. Points to coaster ring or glass ring.
Yeah, I caught the possum and got a special favor from the mayor.
Oh, that's great.
I've been spending 2 days trying to put my Genesis driver review up. Fucking YouTube.
Aerosol Street is so interesting. It's like from a dark comedy. You just find possums and murder.
Why is Aerosol have such an interesting life? The rest of us are just a bunch of shitbags. Especially Dawson.
I love how I just tell you guys that I found a possum in the garbage. And you're like, man, you have such an interesting life.
I've never seen a possum.
I have.
I've seen a raccoon and I'm like, oh my god, Sly, let me take a picture. But that was about it. I was wondering where the hippo was. Did you guys say they're doing a Sly movie?
I don't know. Where's your mom? Yeah, I heard about that. Fuck your mother.
I think it's like 2015 or 2016. But oh still,
God, I don't care.
It's pretty neat.
Kill you.
This is how we feel when you talk, so.
Well, my child is interesting.
Well, Brian,
my child,
luckily,
my child
he gave you ample time for the printer to stop, so I think you can go now.
Well, I got engaged, that's a thing.
I think that's the last bit. First is the Popeye's story. Like, wait, let me tell you what's important, okay?
I had to find blue roses. Yeah, I had to find actual blue, like, not the fig art. I have that. Trying to sell that. I had to find actual fucking blue. I drove all the way around fucking town to get blue spray paint to spray paint some roses.
It would have been funnier if it was like a bouquet of blue rose figure arts. Like, you would have only got it, but it would have been a good story. And a good Twitter picture.
Let's see.
Oh my god, Brian.
Basically, I got the Legacy Dragon Dagger, the Wave 2 key packs. And that's, like, it. Son of a bitch!
You woke her up, Brian, with
damn
your
it.
Loud personal stories.
My fucking dragon dagger, god damn it, set her off. It's like, oh, Tommy! It just had to go. But no, my trains were stuck in customs for 4 days. My CS Toys box has been in there for 5 days.
It's in, like, the tank.
Actually, the CS Toys box has only been in there for 3 days. It took longer to get to customs than the trains did. So I everything's fucked up, and now people's orders that shipped on Monday are in their hands already, and mine's still in customs. I'm curious.
I always wonder what makes them stay. Like, is it just that they're backed up, or are they lazy, or is there like legitimately something they're curious about?
Like I don't know. I'd
like to think that there was a couple of our packages throughout the years that they were just, they couldn't figure out something and they just kept scanning it like in hazmat suits or something. What's that shape?
Because I don't know if some of the people that got it went through Chicago or not. Maybe Chicago's backed up and that's what's taking so long, but like LA isn't. I don't know. It's a thing. And yeah.
Life's a crazy thing.
The postal service is just fucking stupid, honestly. Like, they charge an arm and a leg, and then they're still bankrupt somehow. I don't know. I don't understand.
They need to ask for the other arm and the other leg.
Yes,
he had no arms and no legs. This is how he led a nation.
It's
because each post office has, like, several employees in the back on disability not doing anything. Just
they're all aliens.
Poker. Well, that too. But they're half the people that work for the post office just sit on disability in the back. What, Kaylee? Hold on.
She didn't even say anything.
So
you can't hear her.
That's all for me because life's awful. And news-wise, all we got is Toy Fair.
There's cool Ninja Turtle toys there.
There is. There's a lot of cool Ninja Turtle
There's
toys.
Red Shredder.
There's Red Shredder because Dawson's
Red really Shredder.
Good. Yeah. Dawson. I'm going to buy Turf Lytle, like, so hard. Like, me, Turf Lytle. Sorry, a tiny truck got in the way. It sounds like just picturing like us sitting here and a tiny truck's trying to get around us and just like
So I guess talking about turtles, since that's kind of where we landed first.
With Turf Lytle.
There's a couple new figures. The movie
Go Around.
Other way. The movie, the 90s movies.
The classic ones.
Figures.
Those are pretty neat. I might pick some of those up.
Like, a lot of brands now are doing, like, the Play School hero.
We have really got to stop doing this show in the middle of a tiny highway.
We're in Frank's little version of Natesville.
Turtles are doing a goddamn truck. The Play School style, like rescue heroes, rescue bots, etc. And so those are called half shell heroes, and they're adorable as all sin. It's so funny.
Lay off the horn, for God's sake. These angry truckers, man.
I don't think there's a whole lot more.
Jesus. Give us a break, man.
All I can picture is us sitting in the middle of a highway now.
Frank's baby ass. My God.
This tiny truck just keeps running into our legs.
Like that. You can even hear the tiny truck.
What truck?
It keeps running into us. Can't breathe. My face hurts from smiling. This is us trying to report the news. We're very easily distracted. This just in.
Wheeze laugh.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You moved away from the computer.
Oh, well, I had to get Kaylee her baby dolls because she was scared because of the thunder.
It teleported us in the middle of the highway.
Well,
you're getting attacked by tiny trucks. So I think that's about it for Turtles. There wasn't a whole lot new.
There we go.
I guess we'll talk about PR since that's kind of
the main
thing.
The thing about the show. Legacy Titanus, $200.
People are bitching.
We got Legacy figures. All this crap that we kind of knew about already because Raz found them on Toys R Us' listings. But so those are a 5-inch scale, I guess. The figures on display look like the 4-inch ones to me.
Yeah, it's such overkill at this point. This is like the 10th version of MMPR Red with the damn shield.
Yeah, like, okay, what is it with that thing? Like, I understand people like it, but why is, like, everything the Red Ranger with the shield? I mean, it's getting a Ranger key, apparently.
I know! Why are we wasting that exclusive space on Elephant Bat and Shark Rangers?
Wait, it's getting a Ranger key?
Yeah.
In this catalog, it's in the back of the like the Mighty Morphin comic or whatever that's coming out this week. Uh-huh. There's a shot of like the Red Ranger keys, and one of the keys is the Red Ranger with the Dragon Shield, and I'm just trying to figure out why this is such a thing. Like, it's everywhere.
Because Tommy.
Well, it's not even Tommy.
It's not even Tommy, it's Jason.
But it's Tommy's shield.
Okay.
But just with those figures in general, I remember like how stoked I was when that first Green Ranger Chaser was announced because we hadn't really seen that many things like that, and it's a really good-looking figure. Mm. And now it's like so many of the green, white, and red Rangers. It's like, goddamn.
And
we especially don't need the legacy ones with all those 5-inch ones coming out.
Yeah, and then that's what's the most like bothersome is that these are going to be 15 a pop, and it's just going to be the MMPR guys. So, but only red with the shield and white were shown, but supposedly they're supposed to be all of them and then red with the shield, so whatever. We got the Gokai Spear and the Gokai Cellular. A little miniature version. So the spear looks oddly big.
Yeah, it does.
Because they're the basic battle gear, but the spear looks too big to be in that package.
I have a big spear.
Unless it comes apart a lot, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
It's just you buy it in three different parts. Like, one of them just an awkward middle part. It's called, like, the Super Mega Rod. That just sounds dirty.
I got a Super Mega Rod.
That's a Super Mega Jizz. I'm sorry.
Get another shot of the cannon.
It shoots little propellers.
It's a lot smaller, but it shoots things, so that's always cool. I like shooting things.
I want to shoot things. I want to shoot Brian.
I want to shoot me too. But I think that probably the coolest thing is we get a lot of the... In fact, I think this is all of them that they're making. Hopefully they all actually get released. But the 5-inch scale figures that they're doing for a lot of the 6th and all of the reds. And some of them look really cool. Some of them look eh. Ninja Storm looks really bad because of how buff the shoulders are.
Mystic Force still doesn't have a cape.
But yeah, Mystic Force still doesn't have a cape. I'll probably have to make him a cape.
We'll just steal one from like an LBX or something.
I mean, there's still always a chance that it could come with one, but you never really know. Is there any sort of... I think I checked this before. No, there's nothing on the back for like a
check out the back.
Accessory or anything.
Oh my God.
I like how we both went for the carrier. Yeah. Some of those look really cool. I'm really interested in Robo Knight. I don't know why, because I got the figure. I've got like 2 renditions of the 4-inch. I have the Armored Might, but I'm still really interested in the Robo Knight figure.
I love Robo Knight's design.
You know why? Because Robo Knight was rapping.
That is true.
And don't forget, you can get the Titanium Ranger figure and make him run like a girl. Even though we already got... that was somebody... I think... I don't know if you retweeted it. Someone on my timeline retweeted it. We just got one.
Yeah, it was 092. He runs Ranger Crew now once... Ranger Crew
steps down
once Fury Diamond retires.
That's
he's
weird.
He's taking over the forum, but it's true. I mean, we have a phenomenal Titanium figure from the Super Legends line during RPM, and it's all in all way better than this is going to be. But like, hardly anyone was flipping a shit then. They're like, oh, cool, a Titanium figure. Now it's like, oh my God, Titanium, oh my God.
He's a hero, an American hero.
And man, so, like, that's...
he's fucking G.I. Joe.
People keep saying they want a legacy Titanium Morpher. Didn't they just use the toy for the prop? Because it was an American creation, so it's like, we already got it.
Pretty much.
Legacy Titanium Max. Bitch, it looks like it's going to squeak. It's got that damn yellow band, so it always looks like when he would fire it, I'd go, eh, eh. It's so silly looking. I couldn't get over it when we rewatched Lightspeed.
But those look really cool. So I'm hoping all those get released. You don't really know anymore.
Probably end up hunting them down at Rite Aid's and Ross's later.
Yeah, I don't even have Ross's, so I'm fucked.
Gotta get in my hazmat suit. It's been a long time. I think the last time I actually went there to look for PR stuff, I found those like 4-inch Green Ranger figures that weren't even in the show. I think I sent one to you, Brian.
I
think I've been there maybe once since for like a different reason, but I haven't been seriously looking there, and I've been kind of thankful for that.
You don't want any vomit covered toys?
the 10-inch Sound Effect Silver kind of looks neat.
Yeah.
So I might pick him up.
The Armored Might Silver looks really cool too.
Yeah, the Retro Fires,
we just got...
The only, new Resorts, one on there is a re-release of the Thundersaurus.
I never found it.
Which is great, because I never seen it either, so...
What were the other ones that, sort of released, but, like, hardly anyone got them?
I think Valve Max and,
I know that there was a prototype for the Time Force Mode Red.
Yeah, there was a prototype for that one. Let's see, RPM. I think is what I'm looking at.
Great grandpappy Titanic landed a larger salary.
Oh, it was that wave was the Thundersaurus, the Titan Megazord, and Valve Max. Titan got re-released, so it's just Valve Max that's in Robot Hell.
With your mom.
But Paleo Max, Mach Megazord, and Time Force Red were the three that were prototype only.
I feel like we're not going to see like Mach Megazord and Paleo Max since they weren't Megazords.
We might see Time Force Red, but I don't think we'll see. I don't think we'll see a release of Valve Max or Mach or Paleo Max. So
it's too bad. I don't know.
But yeah, the armored might silver doesn't look too bad. I don't know if I'm going to pick it up. But
what's the matter with your baby? You wanna lay with me?
Yeah, that almost sounds really creepy. Like in like the horror movies when like a creepy girl shows up.
Kinda sounds like a Furby.
It could be a creepy Furby.
Potty.
Oh, potty. Go potty first. Oh, you have to go potty first, baby. Come on. I'm not gonna have you pee in my bed, so you can go potty.
Why do you have to lay the newspaper down then?
This is not Big Daddy. We're not putting newspapers.
Will somebody get this kid a Happy Meal? Sorry.
Come
on, baby.
We have the Mini Zord. I guess we'll call him the Mini Zord here. I don't know what we're
He's really Mini Zord.
But he's little. Looks a lot like the Japanese one, except with smaller arms and a bigger star thing. And everyone's bitching about the color.
Do you want to say hi?
Now, he looks. Okay. He looks pretty dark green in this picture.
Why don't you go potty, please?
Some of the other ones are kind of light green, but
it can always change. I mean, this is still early.
Yeah, they're all prototypes. You never really know. But
and we got the Turbo Falcon with squeaking effects. The Turbo Falcon that actually turns into its own Megazord, which is really cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's neat.
I wasn't expecting that
because that was always one of the biggest things with Macalkin is that he. For his price, he didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, unless you had the other stuff, and then we're willing to sacrifice like 90% of them.
So that's really cool. I do like that they did that. And for the most part, he has pretty decent paint apps too. So
it really wouldn't do anything, but it would be neat if he came with a little like flat engine cells we had.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but I probably forgot they did it. So
yeah,
it's RPM related, so that's not going to happen.
Q-Rex doesn't look too bad. He looks pretty neato.
Yeah.
The Zord armors look pretty cool. The Samurai Zord armor looks really, really neat.
I love like how the non-painted Silver Ranger figure is like super shiny. Like it looks like they made him out of tinfoil before it started.
Like, is there a page to look at all these toys? Because I only saw like bits and pieces. Like every time I went somewhere, like people only had like four toys, and I could never find like a full set of all these. Power Rangers shit and things.
We do see the three cycles that we talked about, I think, last episode, maybe. Jungle Fury, there we go. Overdrive and Turbo cycles.
Jungle Fury.
Instead of being based around the actual cycles, now they're based around the weapons. Which is kind of cool. Though, Jungle Fury looks like it could be a Zord, too. Or the cycle, or the weapon. I don't know. They all had cheetah heads, so who fucking knows? But that was about it for PR. A couple other things I remember. The Loyal Subjects vinyl toys. I know Transformers is with them and a couple other brands. They're doing MMPR, of course.
Okay, I can turn the light off. Come on.
Okay. But leave the nightlight on.
But that's about it for those.
Let's not forget the Ranger Key controversy.
Get you, baby.
So they said that there's 60 for retail, or around 60. I think we kind of counted there's going to be like 68 or so. And so that automatically discluded a lot of the female keys. And so everyone's throwing a bitch fit and going that Bandai is sexist because they aren't releasing female Ranger keys in their packs. And, well, I do think it's stupid that we can't get a pack of five for how much we're paying for them. I mean, they're a business, and they know what sells, and they know what can sell. And so if you're sitting there and going, well, we can sell a pack of these three keys for $7.99 to $9.99, and people will buy them, why spend the money and put two more keys in the pack when we can just give them three keys and they'll still buy it? So really, your only counter to this is don't buy them, but people are going to buy them anyway. I mean, I'm going to buy them.
I like how people are like, you should boycott it. I'm like, yeah, that's totally going to make them realize that their female sales were not bad. And it's like, clearly, they just weren't selling. The number of female toys has been decreasing steadily over the years. It's like, it's just the way it is. I mean, I understand the frustration in the fact that you won't be able to complete your collection easily. Same thing with the Japanese toys. But beyond that, I'm pretty apathetic about it because I'm so over the whole Ranger Key thing, and I'm so over the stupid sexist complaints.
Yeah, I mentioned this to Dawson in the Skype chat earlier, but I feel like this whole sexism thing wouldn't be as prevalent if people hadn't, you know, thrown a fit about Kyoryuger last year. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's the new thing. It's popular to throw a fit about sexism now. Yeah. When really, people are just pissed because they aren't getting all of their keys. And it's, I don't know, I feel like if you're going to be upset about it, don't try to fool yourself or anybody else into thinking that it's all about sexism. Be honest. Do you just want more keys? That's yeah. It.
But it makes them feel important and like they're like, see, look, see, I care. That's why I'm complaining about sexism, because I care.
You know what's funny is that there was also a lot of that sexism complaining back when Samurai was around about like the girls, how they were treated. But I don't remember nearly as many people complaining about Shinkenger, with the exception of like Lazy Coconut. And I just think it's funny that like hardly anyone mentions it, and then all of a sudden it's a thing. It's the same thing with the ratings. Like all of a sudden things just blow up for no reason.
It's really, really stupid. I mean, I get the whole being upset thing, but like Aerosol said, I'm pretty sure a lot of these people are just complaining because they're not getting their Ranger keys. And or they're not getting this, or it's just a cool thing to do. I don't know why calling a business sexist is a cool thing to do. But I mean, I'm looking at some toy listings right now, and there hasn't been a large amount of female stuff since SPD. Dino Thunder was the last time we had like girl cycles and stuff.
That's probably because there was only three people.
Yeah,
to start at least.
And same with Ninja Storm. They had limited people at the start.
Yeah, because I think she got like a Raptor and a regular Raptor cycle, but then like once they introduced White and Triassic and stuff, like in those random lines where they made a bunch of hover cycles and stuff, she didn't get anything.
Yeah, she got a Raptor cycle, and then starting with the hovercraft cycles, they only got Red, Blue, Black, White, and Triassic.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously they just don't sell. I've mentioned it before, when I was little, outside of wanting to buy like the regular figures to complete my set, I really never went for the other female products, like it was, you know, the cycles or whatever.
Lady parts don't sell.
And I mean they don't. There's not enough of a like girl demographic for the toys in order for them to sell. I mean, that's why we only get like one of each girl in these cases. Because they know the only people that are really going to buy them are the collectors buying sets, or kids that like have this thing of needing all of them, like I did when I was little.
Yeah, I had that when I was little. My parents like looked at me funny. Like they had the Thunder Bikes. I remember the Thunder Bikes from like the season 2 toys. And like I had red first or something, or blue first or whatever. And I wanted all five. So my parents were all cool getting me like Jason and Tommy. Jason and Billy and Zach. And then I was like, well, I want the bikes for Kimberly and Trini. And they're looking like, those are girls. I'm like, yeah, but I want all five.
Yes, but it's not wise for Trini to be near a motor vehicle. We don't support that. I can resist.
But that's the thing, like, the parents look at me like, why do you want girl toys? I'm like,
Wait, you know what's funny?
Because I need all five.
Are like, girls can like Power Rangers too? I'm like, yeah, we're not stopping them. And who's to say, why are you saying that the girls can only like the girl characters? I know, I've known girls, you know, since I was a kid until now that like shows and their favorite characters will be the guys. Or guys, their favorite characters are the girls. It's like, I don't know why it has to be like that.
Well, you know, my manager at the Bromart, she dressed up as the Red Ranger. She wanted to be Red Ranger when she was a kid for Halloween. She didn't want to be pink.
Everyone wants to be Tommy and the girls.
Granted, she's a lesbian, but you know that happens. But she wanted to be Red Ranger. She didn't want to be Pink Ranger.
70% of all female fans of JDF became lesbians.
Well, that's because they all cut their hair like him, but haircuts don't lie.
But it's a really stupid argument back and forth, and it's something we can probably talk about on another slow episode to actually kind of get a little bit more deeper into the argument, but not that it'll be much of an argument considering we are all on the same side.
Yeah, but we have to like say what other people are saying.
Yeah, and so we might throw that into discussion at some point when the slower.
We could always let Aerosol be devil's advocate and play up the side of.
Meanwhile, I'm mad that there's the stupid Zeo yellow key because it throws off the system.
Yeah, I was talking about that with Jeff today. It's like, so why is Tanya in that pack? I'm like, I don't know.
It, like, because it makes a system in my head, and then they throw it off, and then that bothers me.
I'm like, it makes sense for like Tori and Kira and stuff in those packs, but you just have the one random girl just appear in this pack. I'm like, where's my Adam key?
So someone in my review said, I think it's because that Billy was supposed to be yellow and then he gave the key to Tanya. I'm like, first of all, no. Second of all, why the fuck did Billy think he had a right to give away his Zeo crystal? He didn't do shit. You can have my crystal. Bitch, you didn't quest as a 12-year-old. You were sitting there even tapping up putting in the command center with alien rangers. He's like, so, living in water, what's that like? That was Billy's life. It's like so dumb.
Can I mate with one of your females?
That always pissed me off even when I was little. I was like, bitch, you didn't do anything except I said it in like little kid term. Why would he want to be yellow anyway? He would have had a skirt. Oh, wait.
And he was like, so Sestro, do you have like a sister? And he's like, actually, there's a chick Sestria. She's into humans. You want to come get that? He's like, I think I just might think about that.
And then he got old.
And he's like, well, now's as good a time as any.
That's the true story of Billy.
So jumping into a couple other lines, Digimon was there, but there wasn't a whole lot new.
Two things.
We have a Digifusion Sparrowmon, which was kind of an obvious make, and a little bit more little figures. But that was it for Digimon. I was really disappointed because I wanted to see where the line was going, and then they just didn't do anything.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that the line and the show does it successful enough that we get more toys for later on, since it pretty much stopped after. Well, this point in Japan, I think like Sparrowmon and stuff was like the last things we got.
Sparrowmon, Beelzemon, and Deckardramon and stuff. That was about it.
They did show the Digimon figure arts though, and they showed Metal Gurumon, which gives me hope that we might get a re-release.
I'm hoping that, one, because I sold all mine for lots of money, so I'm kind of hoping that they can go back and. I mean, I still have the new War Greymon that was released. But I'm hoping they can go back and re-release, like, Metal Gurumon and stuff. Mostly Metal Gurumon. Beelzemon and Dukemon's prices on the aftermarket aren't too bad if I wanted to go and get him, but it's particularly Metal Gurumon, but I sold him for, like, over $100, so.
Black War Greymon is, like, insane. I'm pissed I missed that one, but I'm more pissed about...
Was Black War Greymon there?
No.
No?
Okay. But I'm more pissed about missing Metal Gurumon because it was just stupid, like, Oki not putting me down for it, whereas Black War Greymon was my fault. Oh, stupid Metal Gurumon.
Oki does some crazy things, man. He tries to make you buy an Apollo Geist Reborn. He insists you were, like, the first guy on the list. I'm like, why the fuck do I want that, son of a bitch?
Did you want to talk about the Ben 10 toys at all? Or?
Oh, yeah, I'll just mention it quick. If you don't know, Ben 10 toys have been kind of been missing. But they were at Toy Fair, and they have, like, the rebranded, you know, Galactic Monsters thing. And we did get some new stuff, a few new Omnitrixes. There's one that, like, operates. It's called the Gravitrix. It operates off, like, the distance your hand is from the Omnitrix. There's another That's one weird. that it looks like it operates similar to the original Omnitrix from the first series, where like you turn it and there's a little silhouette. I couldn't tell from the video, but it's probably more like the face symbols instead of the silhouette. And then there's like a third cheap version, which actually just looks like a thin watch, which I actually really like, because I like the design of the Omnitrix, but none of them kind of give you that sleek look it has in the show.
Yeah, I might actually get that one.
So that's cool. What else? And we just basically got like essentially new figures of all the lines we've had. You know, there's like Zombozo, some Frankenstrikes. I think a Hyper Alien Ghost Freak, which is really cool. Like a redux of the 10-speed cycle, which is like the exact same thing except it glows in the dark. So yeah, there was a handful of good things there. I'm hoping that actually hits stores so I can just buy the shit out of it. I mentioned this to Brian, but in the video that I watched, they mentioned that next year is Ben 10's 10th anniversary, which is pretty crazy.
Oh my god, really?
I feel like they'll do something for that, because I was like, I wonder if Ben 10's going to end after this. I'm like, I can't imagine them ending it with that kind of thing. They'll probably come out with a new series for it.
The Ben 10 10th anniversary.
Everything's got to have an anniversary, man. There's people like counting down the anniversary of every single Power Rangers episode. It's like, God, not everything is an anniversary.
You really do 10 new aliens with the 10th anniversary of Ben 10.
Lord. I just hope it means more toys. Dawson's sad. But yeah, I think that's it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else at Toy Fair that we would cover. There's a lot of really cool looking Transformers stuff that I'm probably going to buy that I promised I wouldn't. They're making Batman Animated Series figures, which is weird.
Yeah.
Are we just gonna kind of sit here and reflect a little bit? Is that what we're doing?
We're just thinking. We're getting in the zone. We're meditating, preparing for Tokuger.
Some more Star Wars Black Series figures. That's cool.
Oh, really?
I still need to pick up some of them, but I think I saw like a Darth Vader one, which I'll definitely get. And I think they showed Episode 4 and 6 Luke.
Oh, that's cool. I like Episode 6 Luke. I like that lightsaber design. I mean, it's basically Obi-Wan, but...
But green.
Yeah.
Episode 6 Luke is best Luke, because he was stopped being whiny. Anyway, yeah. What were you going to say, Brian?
Well, I was just going to say, as far as like Transformers go, a lot of what they showed is really cool. I like the Dinobot designs for Age of Extinction.
Those are insane.
Grimlock's robot mode is so cool.
Like, I don't know what I'm getting yet. Like, I think I'm just going to get all the Generations Dinobots and go from there. The Construct bots look really cool. After being a line of very monotonous things, the Dinobot designs for the Construct bots look really good. So I'm looking forward to probably getting those, and I was going to collect Cyberverse, but it doesn't look like Cyberverse is continuing, so I need to figure out what I'm doing from there.
I think the problem with this is that I can probably set out like a list of maybe a handful of things I want to pick up that I'll pick up regardless, but the problem is there's a lot of cool-looking dinosaur toys and just various ones that are like horrible for like impulse buying when you don't find anything and you're like, well, these look cool, you're going home with me.
Like when I bought that Tenkai Knight.
Yeah. They're fun little figures, though.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Tenkai Knights, the people that are doing Tenkai Knights are doing this weird Pokemon kits.
Yeah. And these skinny Tenkai Titans, I don't know what they're called. I feel like catching up on the show just so that I can know what they are, but they look really cool.
So those are interesting. And speaking of kits...
Ooh, good segue.
Bandai's doing this new line called Sprue Kits, and it's encompassing various lines. I forgot what the main one was, but they're including LBX in it. I don't know how much, if they're going to release all the kits. I highly doubt it. But there was a packaging shot of Oculus, so they're doing that at least. I mean, I don't think the show's been picked up yet by anything, but apparently the Inazuma 11, that soccer show, is getting a...
They did a crossover with it.
They did. Is getting an English localized game, and so Nintendo's eShop is hosting dubbed episodes of the cartoon. So people are speculating that if the toys do good, then they might localize one of the games and put up episodes on the eShop. So I don't know, but at least we're getting some kits. So if they release some ones I don't have, I could pick them up. They look to be the same as the Japanese sprues, so...
Nothing if they release some of the early ones, I wouldn't mind picking up some of them I haven't really thought about importing, like maybe Fenrir or something, or... what was Ami's her first one before she got Pandora?
Kunoichi.
Yeah, that's what it is. Kunoichi on stage. Sorry.
but that's about it from Toy Fair for me, I think. I don't really have...
Yeah, I don't think there was anything else. I already collect too many things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really roam outside of the galleries of lines I already collect because I don't want to be enticed by different things. Like, I don't want to go, oh, that looks cool, and then I start monitoring that line. Because that would just end up awful. So yeah, that's it on my
end. All. Yeah, that's it for me too.
So now underpants. It's time for
superhero time. Tokyuja. I don't know.
It was like Tokyuja's without the accent.
You already didn't have one for Gaim. Now you really don't have one.
Gaim.
Did you guys see the way they introduce it now?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it.
It's basically the Tokyuja roll call where they just say, Tokyuja, Tokyuja, Kamen Rider Gaim, Kamen Rider Gaim. Very repetitive.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
feelings to say about that roll call, but...
Okay, so...
Gotta have a few choice words for it.
My mom likes Donkey
Boy. Still mad at Marvelous. He's in a corner.
All right.
I'm mad at him.
Episode 1 of Resha Sentai Tokyuja. So it starts off and they're like, look, here's all these kids. They can use their imaginations to do all kind of cool things.
What happens if we kidnap them?
But... And that brings light, but where there's light, there's shadows. And in the shadows, there's this train that will come steal your kids. And we're like, oh, okay, that's kind of creepy. What the fuck? So this train starts stealing kids. And on the train, they talk about like the rainbow line or something. I don't fucking know. But so they get on there, and they're on this train, and there's this dude sleeping. Like snoring as a monster. It's like, haha, you kids, we got you from your parents. And they're like, nah, and they're crying. Freaking babies. And, like, there's this dude just sleeping. And, like, he's like, what the hell? And so he's like, how'd I end up on this train? What the hell? So he has something or something. The train ends up stopping. And, like, they storm off the train. The colored rainbow line, all the trains are coming out from, like, oh shit, it's a rainbow line. And so they show up, the Tokyujas fall out of the train because they can't figure out how to disembark a train. Blue just falls over, yellow has to help pink out. They start to fight rather haphazardly against a bunch of grunts. Blue like rolls around on the floor like a weirdo, like trying to not get shot, and they're all just kind of looking at him like, are you stupid? They can't really do very much of anything. They end up like, or Red and Red's like, or the dude who becomes Red, whose name is Wright, he's like, oh, I'm gonna fight you, because that's what we gotta do. But the monster beats him up, and so like, they all just run away. I don't know what happened, it was really weird. And so they're on the train, and he meets the conductor and his sock puppet, and he's like, imagination! And I'm like, if this man yells every like other word, I'm going to murder him in his sleep. They do that trick with the hand puppet where they sitting at the same time or something, and he recognizes the other four as his childhood friends. Apparently the five of them have been wearing the same clothes for the past 15 years. Like seriously, the outfits they wore as kids, they're now wearing as however old they are.
They're the Super Mega Force cast.
Like seriously, like it's really creepy. And apparently they had, you know, they were using their imaginations then, And that's what they find out, is that like there's the shadow line, and that's who they're fighting, and they're the bad guys, and they like darkness or something, and so what can combat them is the power of dreams. And since these five can dream, they are the Tokugers. And Rat's like, I'm Tokuger too, right? And they're like, yeah, whatever. So he like runs off when they're like, hey, look, you're approaching the shadow line. I'm like, oh, fuck. So he jumps trains. Like, he fucking, like, Indiana Jones is this shit, and leaps onto the other train and starts trying to fight. And he's like, how do I turn into a Tokuger? Oh, fuck. The other four show up, because they jump trains too after picking up Red's gear. And they stop the train. They get off. They transform. And that's annoying. And then they get into a fucking like line. Like they're going to do a conga line. And then they roll call or something.
Donkey conga.
That's pretty much what's happening. They summon a bunch of grunts to fight so they can show off the color swapping gimmick, and which basically just involves Red going, hey, I want to be blue for a while. Let's swap. And like, I don't think that's a thing. And he goes, yeah, watch.
Well, I'm not into that kind of thing, man.
So they partner swap for a while, and it's really annoying. It goes something like this. For those who didn't see it, it goes something like this. Tokyu Ichigo Redo Norikae Blue. Blue, Norikae, Redo. Now imagine that about 60 times in a minute and a half period. That's pretty much what this was like. They color swap a lot. Yellow or whatever is like, stop playing, guys. He's like, oh, fuck you. And so they keep doing it. After they smack the monster around a little bit, the conductor's like, hey. Stop that shit, huh? Like, this is just being stupid. He pushes a button that makes them all go back to normal. And like, whoa, that's pretty cool. They combine their weapons, and they shoot off the energy rush or whatever the hell it's called, and it like piles up a bunch of like crying child statues on the monster that crush him. I don't understand that. Apparently Pink didn't either. He makes himself giant, and they summon the trains and they go to get on. Like a random station, just a, like boarding station, appears out of nowhere. They go to get on. Red hits a force field. Like, no, you have to use your belt buckle, you tool. And they're like, oh shit. So they get on the things. They combine into Tokyo, and they summon this crossing guard sword, which makes a crossing guard appear, and a hologram of the trains distracts the monster while they cleave him in half. At some point in there was a scene with the villains where they introduce them and you talk about making
that
stations.
Was like way back.
I know, but I couldn't fit it in because it was a pointless scene. It was just there to introduce the villains, and they talk about making stations and extending the shadow line to meet the emperor or something. Basically, they're explaining what their purpose is and what they want to do, but they had to cut away from the action of the episode to do it. Then they go back to the train. So after the monster fight, they're on back on the train with the conductor, and none of them know why they're there. So apparently Ticket, which is the sock puppet, told them that they're there because they're all basically dead. The killer is good as dead, so you're Tokugers. And like, what the fuck does that mean? And conductor's like, oh, walked off.
I think they're all dead, and they're just running on imagination energy. They've been horribly killed. When Red was punched, he died. That's what happened.
Yeah. So this was an interesting first episode. Like, there are things that I liked in it. There are things that I just found annoying. Like, the color change was okay. It would have been better if it wouldn't I get it. They were trying to show it off, so they did a lot. But if I have to hear that sound effect every time they fucking change, I'm going to murder someone.
I think it's gonna happen because that's usually how the belts and the morphers and all that stuff works.
But
I mean, eventually they usually get quieter. Gaim's at the point where you always hear like Hanamichi on stage, but they dim it so low that it's only there because to be accurate.
I think it kind of depends on the scene too. Like if he makes a really big like show of transforming and like it's all dramatic, but if he's like running towards someone, it's usually quieter.
Like the first couple of Wizard episodes, it was real fucking like Shabba Dooby Tai Jahan Sheen, Shabba Dooby Tai Jahan Sheen. And after that, like they didn't even bother with it. He just scanned that shit. Like,
because I mean, you don't really even hear like the noises of the Sengoku driver anymore.
Yeah,
it's usually just straight to the Orenji arms Hanamichi on stage and stuff. So
I'm hoping they do that kind of thing for this. The whole weapons thing, the attack was pretty cool. Like that was okay. I don't understand like the whole imagination. Like I get it. Like imagination, you can do anything. It's just kind of weird. Like pink turns into green, can't lift his axe, so she just like imagines she's stronger. And that she like lifts weights.
And like she's like you know, being super strong and like turning enemies really small and
I love that.
Pushing them like ants.
That was hilarious. I loved that. Like there were some things that I really liked in the episode. And there are some things that I'm just like, I need to see more before I can really be on board with. Like I like this show. Like, and like I said, like that villain scene, like I get you have to introduce the villains. It just seemed really out of place.
Well, they kind of intercut it with the explanation of he said, this is the shadow people we fight. And then they show the villains and they went back to it. They kind of intercut them together. So yeah. They're like explaining themselves at the same time.
Yeah, it seemed a little weird, but I don't know. I guess it works, but...
I really enjoyed the episode. I thought it was pretty entertaining. I think, like all Sentai pilots, it felt really rushed. Mm-hmm. I was a bit confused. Like I rewatched it a second time, like within a day, and it still feels really weird. Like the way they narratively did it, like the way it's set up is like, oh, he's like a rookie red, and this team's been established for a while, but it makes it seem like they've been established for all of 3 minutes, and then he forgot that he knew them, and I'm like, wait, what? And they've been friends all along. It's very confusing the way they did it, especially with such a quick episode. So
I guess he hasn't seen them in a while. I could definitely agree it was rushed. Like, I guess he hasn't seen them in a while. What I want to understand, want to know is why do they have to be in the same clothes? Like, I get the whole, like, oh.
So that you know who they are.
Right, I get that. Why couldn't they just be in the same coat? Like, why did they, like, why couldn't he have just been wearing, like, a red shirt? Why did it have to be, like, the exact fucking jacket?
Because they all climbed that tree and then died, and now they're running on imagination. I don't know. I'm really going
back. That's actually probably accurate.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
But anyway, I think the fact that Sentai pilots are usually rushed, and then that combined with, like, how confusing that happened, because I kept getting confused about how the setup was going, because I thought that he didn't know them, then he knew them, and it was just very confusing, especially condensed. But I agree that the voice can be a little bit annoying, but I really like the color change idea, because I think it's really unique. And
yeah, it's actually pretty cool. Like, things. Watch what's going to happen. The end of the show is going to come, and it's the whole thing will have been a dream from their imagination from when they were at that tree.
Oh no, we're going to get Ryukied.
I did see a complaint arise about the color changing thing, which I kind of agree with. It doesn't seem to have much of a point.
They do get the different weapons. But yeah, other than that, I can see a point.
So what? They can just swap out weapons.
That's true. I just kind of like it because it's different. But yeah, it doesn't really have as much of a point as like Gokaiger's changes did when they actually got full on different power sets. But it's still neat. I feel like there's going to be like a power-up, maybe just for Red or something, that's just like a rainbow form, and he's got all the colors on there.
I like what his sword like makes train tracks that wrap around the bad guys and trap them. And I liked the transformation.
Yeah, I liked the way that the train thing, the tracks wrap around their heads. I thought it was neat. I really like the theme song. I like the theme song quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I like the Tokyo combination as well. Like, there's just something, like, I just really like the way they do that. I don't know what it is, but...
I like the way it seemed like he described it, like, they were piloting it because if they just imagined piloting correctly, it pilots. I think that's really funny. Like, at least that's the way I perceived it, and I just like to imagine how funny it would be that they're randomly pressing buttons and pulling levers, like, with no rhyme or reason, like you're a child, but it's piloting it because they're believing they're doing it.
Like you're in Dr. Evil's lair, you're just randomly pushing buttons.
Arbitrarily pushing buttons. Yeah, but I thought that was funny. But yeah, for the most part, I thought it was rushed. There was a few weird things, but I was pretty entertained by it, and I'm curious to see where it goes. I really like the villain designs, and I like how kind of... I like how creepy they look, because I think it really offsets like the super bright, happy Tokyugers, and I think it kind of makes a perfect foil for them.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely creepy looking.
All right, I'll let someone else talk now. Yep. Here's, oh, quick, there's an opening. Damn it, Brian! Brian's like, I'm tagging it.
No, he can talk.
I wasn't trying to.
I know, I was just telling him he could, if he wanted to. Otherwise, I can.
Well, so. Be my guest, Brian.
Be our guest. Be our guest. I'm sorry. I don't know where that happened.
But, no, I enjoyed it to an extent. I thought it was really fun, and that's pretty much what I was expecting going in. And the color change got obnoxious to a certain degree, but it did make the scene really fun. But like Aerosol said, I completely agree the fact that it is overall relatively pointless. And is, I feel, just there because they could make like the whole train transferring thing like a parallel to it. And so I hope it eventually serves a more necessary purpose.
It would have been cool if they gave all the suits different powers, like maybe enhanced strength.
Yeah, like that's what I was kind of thinking when we didn't really know a whole lot, is that, oh, maybe each one has like a certain ability, and so when they become that color, they get that ability, so they might need so-and-so to have this ability, as opposed to how it normally is. I don't know why that would actually be a thing, but it would make more sense than what it is. But I mean, I enjoyed watching it. I thought it was really fun, but at the same time, my brain's sitting here going, it's kind of pointless. But it's hard to comment a whole lot on the characters knowing so little. It was a very rushed opening, but Sentai usually is, we don't get like an establishment or anything like that for a lot of these characters. So it really takes like a month or two to actually kind of get going. And
sure, Yuger's opening was really rushed too, and you know.
And I mean, so that ended up being great. So
it ended up being fucking amazing.
So I mean, you never really know how these things are actually going to end up. But I remain optimistic about the show. I think if it can remain as fun as I thought the first episode was, I don't think it's going to like be a Go Busters or be a Kyoryuger. I mean, I could be wrong. You never really know. But I did. Overall, I left the experience very positive, and I thought it was really fun, and that's kind of what I was looking for going in. I do think the villains are awesome. Their designs are beyond terrific. I think they're really cool.
The fat one's creepy.
Yeah, that one don't count.
Greta?
Greta.
Britta?
What? Yeah, Britta.
Greta is the Britta of the Shadowline. That one could kind of creep me the fuck out.
Of the G.
I really do like them. I think they're cool. They could be really interesting villains. Again, we don't really know their ambition besides they want to extend the Shadowline, which really could be it. I mean, that's a simple enough goal. So
cover the world in shadow.
DeVos's goal was just to destroy the planet.
Yeah. I think my favorite moment of the entire episode was when the crows got shrunk and Pink just like poked them out of existence.
Boop, boop, boop.
For as much as I don't particularly like, because Pink creeps me out, and I never really established why that was. But
I just decided it.
But I kind of like her character in some bits, like the boop boop I thought was kind of adorable, and then there was certain things like with the muscle girl and stuff I thought it was kind of a little over the top. So
she seems like the baby of the group.
Isn't like, she like 12?
If you see in a bunch of
that's why she's so hot.
If you see in like several scenes, you can see like all the other members of the team helping her, like helping her up off the ground or pulling her out of the train and stuff like that. She seems like the one that people are like taking care of.
Yeah. And I do have to make a quick comment on how awesome Yellow's sword fighting was It was very meticulous and very kendo, and I thought that was kind of cool.
I kind of like Blue's personality from this episode, because he kind of seems like he's trying to be really serious, but he also kind of messes up, like when he was trying to get the exact angle lined up on those grunts, and then they just ended up shooting him, and he's like, fuck it, I'm bailing. So I kind of liked that.
I did like Blue, because every time he went to make a point or say something serious, he would get cut off. And I can totally relate to that.
What are you talking about, Aerosol? You never get cut off here. You don't get to say what you want. So anyway.
I saw before it got subbed, there was a lot of mixed opinions. Mostly coming from people who don't know how to speak Japanese, who are just watching the Raw and think they know everything about the episode because of it. But, I saw a lot of people who were either really negative or really positive. And after watching the episode a couple of times, it's okay. I'm not, super into it, but... I'm also not one of those people who thinks that this is, the worst Sentai ever or going to kill Power Rangers for some reason or anything like that. I really can't say anything, annoyed me or really, really bugged me about the episode or anything like that. It's just, it's okay. Not really my thing right now, but I feel like that'll change once we have more episodes.
Sentai pilots are always really hard to judge by.
Yeah. I watched the clips that they put up. Oh, here's the opening, and here's, the first fight scene and transformation and stuff. I watched those before the sub came out. And I watched them, and I was like, this is kind of weird. I don't know how to handle this. Then I watched the actual episode, went through it a couple of times and stuff, and... I'm more okay with it. Having, the subs to it, I don't know, I feel a little better, understanding what's happening in the, what the stuff they're saying while they're the transformation and everything else, or how they refer to doing the color change as, changing lines, swapping train lines and stuff. I felt a little better about it after watching with the subs. I'm like, okay, well, I kind of like this. I don't like how they are just kind of relating everything to trains, and they're actually using the to do stuff with.
I like the white. Oh, sorry, I was gonna say I like the white line drawn before they morph. I was just gonna say that. I thought that was funny.
Oh yeah, yeah. I forgot to mention that. That was hilarious. I like it. They do the white line, and then the monsters just kind of wait patiently.
I was waiting for the crow, but I'm sorry.
No, it's cool.
I always feel so bad. It's like stepping on a puppy. It's like, I'm sorry.
That's cool. I'll you just keep being Tokyo Nigo over here.
I just want to say, I was expecting the crow that was behind or in front of the line to explode.
Yeah, so was
me too. Or I was waiting for him to get hit by a train.
Finally, create a legit reason why they actually wait for them to transform in roll call.
All of a sudden, Aerosol's death train comes out and kills him.
I was just going to talk more about the characters. The conductor looks like a Japanese Jimmy Carr.
He does.
Ever since I laid eyes on him, I can't get that out of my head. He's Japanese Jimmy Carr.
God.
I noticed this more during my second time watching it than my first. Red is kind of a dick. he's the kind of guy that doesn't really realize that he's being an ass to everyone. He's so excited about everything that's going on, and he's just so into it that he's pushing people out of the way. He's grabbing what's his name? Takati?
Yeah.
He's grabbing his mouth whenever he tries to speak. He's interrupting people, shoving people. It's...
That's making me more of a con. Put my hand on Aerosol's mouth.
He's just kind of an asshole. But he doesn't realize it. I thought that was kind of funny. That he's very noticeably flawed. I wish I had more to say about green and yellow. They didn't really do much.
Green just kind of hung out and just like watched everyone else.
I do like that pink was sort of a good way to introduce us to us the whole idea of this, how this imagination thing is going to work, because she really was sort of the example for this episode of, you know, whenever she would sort of start talking to herself and imagine herself being strong, she'd just get strong.
The first subs that came out,
it said, "I think I can."
I think I can. I was like, "That's clever." That's not what she's saying at all, but that's clever.
Shoot, I felt like there was one more thing I was going to mention.
Is it about Ticket and how I can write a perfect Robbie and Rex bit for those two?
No.
No. That's mildly amusing, but no.
But yeah, I don't really have too much more to say. Like I said, the episode was okay. It's kind of up in the air whether or not it's going to be the kind of thing I really get into, but for now, I really don't see why so many people are complaining about it.
It's clearly made for children. What's their problem? Like, God, why do they make this show for four-year-olds? Sometimes for adults.
I hate the first episode complaints. Like, I mean, it's one thing to just have, like, nitpicks. Like, well, that just didn't really make sense. And, I mean, I'm not really sure. But to flat out say, like, first episode, oh, this is the worst shit in the world. Sentai is over.
It's, like, the second worst thing compared to people saying that when you see the first pictures.
And I like how negative this entire thing was back when all we had was, like, the toy scans. And then, like, the first episode airs, and a lot of the people that were very vocal about how much they hated it were now like, that was really fun, this is awesome, I love it. I'm like, okay, guys.
That's pretty much what happened with Gaim, too. Especially yeah. Gaim.
So it's interesting how fickle this fandom is. But
yeah.
Because I'm like, when I first seen the toy catalog, I was like, well, this is really weird. And then I slowly warmed up to it. And then by the time, like a week or two ago, I was, like, totally on the hype train.
So to speak.
No, not even so to speak, like, for real.
Well, see, like, they're still not my favorite suits. I always really liked the helmets, but they're still not my favorite. But after you see them for a while and you see them in the show, you see that they can look fine. Like, they looked really off-putting when you first saw them. Like I said, I walked into that Troy Darkest Timeline scene. I'm like, what are people complaining about? And then I just saw straight-up color. I'm like, oh God.
See, seeing them in motion sort of made me spot things that I didn't really see the first time I ever saw them. Like how they do actually have a separation between their arms and their chest piece. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's all one solid color, as opposed to how Kyuriger did it, where it was two different colors. So it still has that look like it's a separate piece, but it still bleeds into it. I don't know. It's more interesting in motion than it is as a static picture.
Yeah. It's just kind of like with all the designs that whether you think they look weird, I think most everybody ends up getting used to it in some way because it's like, obviously, they didn't just do a doodle and then make the suit. They went through all this time designing it and making prototypes and looking at it and probably doing test groups or whatever. It's like, I think they know what they're doing. They've been doing this quite some time. So for people to say like one suit design is going to kill the show is pretty ridiculous. Especially when we have an Orange Ranger with a mustache coming up.
And I about the helmets, I really like the train tracks on them now that I see them in the show. They're metallic, so they're like silver chromed, and it looks really, really nice in the show. So I have to give them props to that. I think
I always liked it.
And it ended up looking really
cool. Thought it was a unique design choice.
So overall, it was pretty positive, I think.
Yeah. Something about the SpongeBob imagination meme. Sorry. What? I don't know. I said something about the SpongeBob imagination meme because people keep passing that around. Mm. You know, the SpongeBob imagination. It's going to be revealed that Conductor is actually SpongeBob by the end of the show.
Got it.
And Ticket is Patrick. No, Gary. Classic Larry. Anyway. anyway, speaking of Classic Larry, time for Gaim. Because he was in this. Jerry, what the hell? Anyway, all right. So Team Gaim is trying to get all the other dance teams to team up for regionals. And it's going to be really exciting. And Pierce is like, what the hell is regionals? Nobody knows. Just go with it. Meanwhile, while they're doing that, Coach is constantly protecting people, and everyone's still scared of him. It's pretty sad. And they can't drum up any support for this because they get everybody to realize that it's Baron's fault that they started all that infighting in the first place. They're like, maybe we should do this regionals thing. Wait a minute. Let's all hate Baron. Come on, gang. And then they left. That's pretty much how it went down. Oren's pretty upset about this whole idea of regionals because he wants to be the one to host them or something. I don't know. So he gets on a megaphone on top of a van and starts shouting. And he thinks that's going to get things done. Team Baron wants to do regionals, but Baron himself doesn't. So he quits Team Baron, despite being his namesake now because of the rider thing, and gives his name Zach, such a generic name, the driver he swiped. So only two teams, Baron and Gaim, show up for regionals. And Bravo starts attacking him, and Gaim and Zach as Knuckles, I didn't even mean to do that, start defending him. And after they fight for a little bit, the other dance teams just show up. Like, how did they get in there without the other people noticing them? Like, they just popped up, and they're like, oh my god! And so they're all there, and they're dancing, and there's like, Twitter's like, blasting up. It's like hashtag Team Gaim, hashtag regionals, whatever. Sucks to be Bravo. And like everyone's freaking out. And Greedon steals their dance music card and they're like, ah, you'll never get us. But then with the power of girls and a beat, they get him on stage and start dancing again. Baron shows up to help. And Baron and Knuckles team up and take down one of the random invests that they summoned. And Gaim hands Bravo his ass again, and just as he's about to head back, he gets stopped by Duke, and everyone else is celebrating and jumping, and they're all happy, and it's like a super happy scene, and then you get a voiceover from Michi saying, I will murder anyone that stops this happiness, or something along those lines. And then it ends. It actually ended with the Kota thing, but I forgot to get that Michi thing in there. It just had to be mentioned. But I thought this was another good episode. I really liked the idea of them being kind of proactive about trying to show people that the beat writers weren't bad. And I thought that whole dance thing was a good way to do it. And sort of seeing them being attacked and like trying to overcome this thing with Bravo, I thought was a good way to get at least some of the public back on their side. I don't know whether they're going to be completely embraced again, but I think they might have it easier. Michi's last creepy thought was great, because I've told you guys both this, but it was so funny because the way you put it, I thought that maybe there was some sort of scheme he was working, but it was literally just one last creepy line within the last 2 minutes of the show, and it was such a perfect scene with how happy everyone was, and even he looked normal and like a happy normal dude, and then you get this creepy voiceover about him wanting to hurt people that would destroy their happiness.
Yeah. I mentioned yesterday that the more you think about what he says, the more distressing it is. Like, it's very much a very mentally distressing kind of thing. He's now reached that point where he's kind of drawn that line that says, okay, if someone crosses that line, if someone interrupts all of this joy for my friends or myself, then I'm going to betray him. I'm going to backstab him. And it does feel to me like with the way things are going, that's definitely going to become an issue down the line, potentially for Coda.
Yeah.
But the more you actually think of the scene in which he's saying this or thinking it, it's hilarious because he's dancing and he's happy and, you know, everyone around him, it's this great victorious moment, and then he's just like, I'm gonna betray anything and anyone who makes my friends or me unhappy. It's like, okay, Michi, you really didn't need to go there right now.
I love it because we always poke fun at how, like, creepy and scheming Michi is, and then he says shit like this, and you're like, see, we're right.
Because you make it think, like, is this just one of those things where we, like, give somebody a bit that's not really true, like drunk packing? But no, it's true.
Like, dude, I try to stick up for you, and you go and pull this shit. Come on, man.
I did also enjoy, like, how Greedon couldn't control himself. Like, the beat just overwhelmed him. He's like, oh, fuck it. I just can't handle this. The beat's overwhelming me. And he just starts dancing. Like, he was full into it and everything.
But yeah, I enjoyed the episode. It is very much just an episode to kind of wrap up this whole beat writers thing to the whole Invest game and everything. And to get Kaido away from that and towards, you know, pursuing Yggdrasil and stuff like that. So for what it did, it did it well. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought the fight scenes, I really like Knuckle. I kind of dig Zack in this episode. He hasn't really done too much throughout the show, but I dig his whole little back and forth with Kaido, and, you know, him stepping up and being Knuckle. It was kind of cool. And I like the way the scene is shown with them fighting the Invest while everyone's dancing in the background. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, it was.
I love the text on the screen while they were battling and dancing, because they translated everything, and certain things were really funny. Like our hero, ladies and gentlemen, and fucking little green on there, he's like getting choked. and sucks to be Bravo. And one of them was Candarilla. It said, keep smiling, yo.
That's great.
And so that was really cool. And it's something that Japan does in, like, their comment system. Like, I think on Nico Nico, their comments, they have this ability to, like, put comments on the video. So, like, you're watching a video, and then there'll just be, like, a comment scroll across the screen, like, just like what happened. And so it's really funny to watch. And then you just get... Japan's really weird, because, like, we found on, like, Akiba Ranger, they don't actually, like, type LOL. They type, like, the W. So it's just, like, a bunch of W's and shit. So it's really funny to see any sort of Japanese comment system going, but... It's pretty great.
I do have to say, with this episode and the past few episodes, I feel like Bravo's on his way out, because he's slowly starting to become less and less relevant and less and less of a threat now that Coda can kind of beat him single-handedly and pretty easily, to be honest.
Yeah,
he's basically not a threat at all anymore.
I kind of hope that he, like, the character disappears and, like, someone else takes over the suit. Because I really like the suit.
Why don't you like Bravo? He is the best.
He's kind of annoying sometimes. But I don't know. Because I want the suits to stick around. And I'm assuming Greedon, whether this guy continues on as Greedon or not, since you have the possibility of other people doing it now. But Greedon's got to be important, because they've kind of made it seem like it's going to be. Not, like, central to the plot, but at least, like, he's going to be more main than he has. Like, I don't think he's transformed in, like, 5 episodes at least or something. No, like,
every
that.
Time he tried, he hits the fake one. He gets hit by things.
Well, yeah, but even before that, like, we had the whole post-Helheim story, and he was just, like, not there.
Did he have his belt at the time?
Oh, and I guess not.
I don't recall, because I thought Bravo didn't, but then he did.
remember.
And they like got upgraded. I don't really know.
Because the last time I saw him was when he was in Helheim, and then you know we had the whole post story after that, and then he went to go suck up to Bravo, and we just really haven't seen him other than a couple Weasley appearances.
Sorry, I don't really know. I don't just remember some things that happened in the show. Or anywhere.
I have anywhere. Where am I?
What am I? What is this? Anyway.
That's a good place to end it, I guess.
No, it was a really good episode. For what purpose it served in.
I'm gonna kinda assume this will be the last like main appearance of like the whole Beat Writers thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they won't completely forget it, like all of a sudden it's a reboot or something and like they don't even acknowledge it. We were doing more of a Western theme, now we're more of a Star Wars vibe.
It is nice that they put this little cap on it, though, instead of just completely forgetting about it and just kind of tossing it to the side. Mm-hmm. They did make a point to show Kaido quitting the team and moving on and stuff like that. And I do like that he acknowledged that Koda really didn't seem all that interested in dancing, because when they were dancing, you never saw Koda dance, except for, I think, like, the Christmas episode.
Yeah, Koda, because
he
Koda's
quit
one of those characters
before the show started,
that he just doesn't really seem to have that same passion for dance, and I feel like that might end up being one of the rifts, there's a T in there, riff is later. could come between Michi and Kota, because
you don't like dancing, I'm gonna kill you.
Like, Kota's one of the characters that would like totally set aside this whole dancing thing to help save the city. Like, that is his passion, is saving the city. And here's Michi over here going, I just want everyone to be happy and dance, and I
kill anyone that gets away.
Well, they've shown that Kota's done that before. Not necessarily to save the city, but he's quit the team multiple times.
Yeah,
he's not someone who's
started.
Been, yeah. He's not someone who's been overly invested in the whole thing.
Yeah,
because he's kind of found his whole purpose for the moment with being Gaim. He's found his purpose for the Gaim being, so to speak. Man, Gaim has given us such a wonderful gift.
I like how Michi's over here going, he must never know about Yuya. Never. Like, this guy is crazy enough to, like, legit do anything to make sure that Kota doesn't find out that he killed Yuya.
Like, oh, what's this footage? Oh, crap, gotta check my email. I love how, I think it was Aristotle that said it. Oh, were you using that? Sorry.
My bad.
But, you know, because of that whole thing we learned, every time, like, a non Worm Invest shows up, I keep thinking, I wonder who they were. Because even if it's from an alternate universe, there might be a person. Unless they were a rat invest that ate another fruit. But every time one of the more advanced invest shows up, I'm like, they were a person.
You were a person, and his name was Anakin.
They were all Anakin. They came from the world of Anakins.
Everyone's an Anakin.
You get an Anakin. You get an Anakin. Everyone gets an Anakin. Thanks, Oprah. Whatever happened to her?
I don't know. She quit. But Super Mega Force will return next week, since all we had this week was the premiere on TV.
We did get a neat little teaser for the Silver Ranger, which I was not expecting at all.
Yeah, like, I think Nick was just like, we only want to do one promo and just keep airing that, so here's everything for the first half of the show in one promo.
Yeah.
Go.
But it was still neat, just because we haven't gotten anything like that in years.
Yeah, it was a pretty good promo. I mean, it raised a lot of questions, and it'll be interesting to see how the season pans out, but we shall see.
The return.
Why do I always, like, do weird voices when I do that?
I don't know. Let's see what we have to say about it.
Kevin turned into a clown.
I was moderately curious on how long you could go.
Moderately curious? I'm glad you didn't overstate your curiosity.
I got interrupted twice.
Sorry.
By two different noises.
And dance music. Yep.
Give now a time for Rainbow, Rainbow, Rainbow Time.
So pumped! Not really. But I made you think I was pumped for about 3 seconds, didn't I?
Oh yeah. It's so convincing.
Everyone's so fooled.
We're here with special guest Kevin.
Hey! It's good to be here on the RR podcast.
I can see it in the credits and special guest star Jedi Mom.
A rare Kevin in Rival Time. It's a.
I'm like that returning guest, like that cast member that used to be there, and then you come back, and everyone's excited. Like it's supposed to be a surprise, but then they spoil it in the trailer for the episode.
It's like most.
We're talking about the Office finale.
So Kevin's our coach.
Yeah, that's perfect. That would make you Winston. We just can't figure out what to do with your character.
Oh. Well.
Actually, I was referring to this as a Stargate reference. How does my 30-day period? It's telling me my pass is expired.
It's a long period.
I just downloaded Pokemon Bank. This is time remaining in your Pokemon Bank pass. Your pass has expired.
Oh, yeah, it's a little wonky.
Those assets. Well, how do I make it fix?
How do I make it fix?
Get Bug the Builder.
I apparently don't get a 30-day trial.
Make it fix it! Yes, you can!
Brian, fix my DS.
Just sit on it for a little bit.
Like an egg. I wonder if there's like an egg hatching app.
Can you lay an egg?
Well, now you're dead, so no, you can't.
Yeah. It's like Dawson's arch rival is gone now.
Doesn't have anyone to fight anymore.
Brett Owens is still alive. Okay. So, speaking of that,
good old Pokemon.
We got Vivian and French people thinking they're all fancy that they can pronounce stuff different just because they always sound like they're perpetually hawking a loogie when they speak.
I don't know why we didn't realize that it was Vivillon before.
It's not. It's Vivian.
Vivian. Like, I don't know how we didn't recognize that considering the whole thing. It's like, look, we're in France. We have our own Eiffel Tower and our own gay dog.
I don't know French. That's why I never thought of it.
I don't care about French people. Sorry, French listeners.
I don't know French either.
Do we have any French listeners? If you're French, raise your hand. Wait a minute. This isn't going to work.
No one cares about the French. Look at Oki. He's French. No one cares about him.
Not my friend. You're my dealer. Damn it, Saul. Now we're going to have to make a remake when we're at the end of the world. I wonder who would play Red in that scenario. That's not about Pokemon, though. Anyway, was an okay episode.
Vivian,
the battle was entertaining.
I can't say it now. Vivian Banks was there, and I'm happy, because I love that.
That's Brian's review. Brian reviews the latest Pokemon episode. Vivian Banks was there, and I am happy.
I love that she had the standard to, like, sprite Vivian.
Yeah.
Like
you can't be
fancy. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess we're not going to bother doing anything with the other patterns. We're just going to go with standard Vivian and pretend nothing else exists at the moment.
I don't even like the standard Vivian pattern, but...
It was a fun battle. The animation's a lot better this season.
And I like how they're... They did
I like
a little
how Pikachu
bit of
got pwned by... Like, Pikachu got pwned by Surskit, because that made sense.
Oh my god, that... Like,
it's
Surskit.
One at a time!
Look, I beat Surskit.
Lost our rhythm. Okay.
Surskit's a douche.
But... It's the...
You can go, I was just saying but, because that's how I end sentences.
Oh my god, Angry Iwata is on my eShop, and I'm scared.
I was just gonna say that, it's such a small thing, but I like that they changed Iron Tail's effect back to just being a glowing tail instead of in Unova when they just turned it into like metal. I always thought it just looked kind of funny. It's a really dumb thing.
I like the fact that we're going back to some kind of more interesting battles. With like incorporating the ice field and the sticky webs and the gust and. I mean, I know battles don't work like that in the game, but it's always more interesting to watch when
they do like Counter Shield stuff.
Counter Shield, and it's like, oh, that's not how it works.
And even, can you imagine how boring it would be if they did it like the game, though? Like, flamethrower waits for opponent. They're just like sitting there. The person's just thinking, hold on, I gotta think. It's much more entertaining on the anime.
Oh, flamethrower, they just stand there and get hit.
And other than, you know, Ash. Losing to a Surf Skate with Pikachu, he still seems a little bit more competent than it was in Unova.
I just don't really get why he had to lose. I mean,
I think it's especially ridiculous really Pikachu, weird. Because Pikachu is like, didn't he tie with a Latias or a Latios or something? It's like ridiculously strong.
Latios, yeah. Well, I mean, like if he had said, okay, well, I'm gonna go straight up Kalos on this battle and use Froakie and Fletchling, and he lost, I would have been okay with the loss because they're both brand new Pokemon.
I like how the bitch had the nerve to go, your Pikachu still has a lot to learn. I'm like, bitch, it's like level 500.
At least I have a little bit better time dealing with Ash losing if it's a gym leader, because at least they're like somebody more competent than Trip, who just completely fell off the face of the earth. I think he literally just walked out of that tournament and just kept walking, and he's still going. Like, he hasn't done anything else. He just kept going in that one direction.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say it wasn't meant to be funny, but I guess it was.
It was, because Bantz.
Oh, yeah. It would make sense if it, since he went walking off in that one Jonas brother. Hey, whatever happened to them? They just, disappeared. They used to have their own show.
Well, you know what happened is they were all about, like, let's not have sex. And then a couple of them got married, and they were like, oh, this whole sex thing is really good. Let's not. So, we're like, I guess we can't promote that anymore.
Well, might as well split up and just disappear. Like, why are we talking about the Jonas Brothers?
Well, plus they got over the age of, like, 16, and so, you know, Disney's like, oh, you're uninteresting anymore. Get rid of away. And then Miley became a whore.
True story.
And Raven became a lesbian. And Lindsay Lohan became a crackhead. See, this is what happens when you're on Disney Channel.
See, now Raven needs to come back and have a spinoff called That's So Lesbian.
And Demi Lovato cut herself. These people have really bad luck.
Are we still talking about Pokemon?
No.
These are common things you'll find in one of our Pokemon discussions.
I did like the episode. It was entertaining to watch. There just wasn't a whole lot to say about it.
Whatever happened to Christy Carlson Romano?
Who?
The chick from Even Stevens? She was Kim Possible?
She disappeared. I don't know. I think Shia LaBeouf murdered her and didn't tell anybody. He just kept stabbing her and screaming, Optimus! But, like, it got covered up because he's so famous.
He's like, I'm the famous one now, bitch, and stabbed her. Then just started plagiarizing people.
Whatever happened to Tawny? Remember when Megan Fox got fired? I'm like, they should bring Tawny on. Oh, well, I'm not watching right now, so I wouldn't know.
Well, it was only a small role that I don't think exists anymore. But
wait, who was that?
That was Lewis's girlfriend. Whatever happened to Twitty? Man, everyone's gone.
That kid was in something. He was in that movie with Will Ferrell kicking and screaming. That shit was funny.
Remember Beans? God knows what happened to Beans. Probably on America's Most Wanted.
Oh yeah, that was Beans. I don't know.
One of those. How about those monsters?
I was just about to make a joke about him luring kids with bacon. Damn it. Like, he just passes by in a van with freshly cooked bacon. Like, you just smell it. I would follow it.
Wait, are we still on Pocket Monsters?
I was referring to Ben 10 and the term of monsters, but...
Well, yeah. the last thing I want to say about Pokemon, though, before we move on to Ben 10, is I love how they did the whole... Look, we met the gym leader on the street and didn't know it was the gym leader until 10 minutes later when we got to the gym and they go, the gym leader's not here. And she walks up behind them. Like, hey, all stalker creepery.
Gym leaders are never there. They should all be fired.
Like, they're like the worst people ever.
And they're like, oh, I don't know if I want to battle you. I think I wanted to, like, snowboard. What are you talking about? Just stop, stupid gym leaders.
Like,
I don't think you're worthy. Don't you have to accept my challenge?
Like, you don't need to be snowboarding. You're in, like, the middle of the fucking rock gym. What are you doing?
Rockboarding. That's what Brock does, because he calls it Brockboarding. So good.
Brock should waterboard someone.
I wasn't taking it to that.
With Ludicolo. Could you imagine Ludicolo being used to waterboard someone?
I'm kind of hoping he's doing that to Cyrus right now. God damn it!
Silen? To Cyrus. Well, that's just rude. They beat him.
At some point, I want you to actually get that correct.
If it's a requirement. Otherwise, this is strike three. Yeah, but they could be the spinoff.
Just Brock waterboarding Silen?
Yeah. They had a special episode. They could have a sequel.
Oh, did you see on Cerebi there's a special episode coming with Iris and Claire. That's a thing.
Claire from Mystic Force. It's going to be weird. She's going to turn herself into a sheep and then just trample over Iris.
Dragon has to eat her. Because dragons eat sheep, I guess. I don't know. I'm assuming.
But speaking of sheep, I guess Ben 10.
How do you get sheep out of Ben 10?
Because all the zombie people followed Zombozo like sheep. Boom. See, it all ties together.
I'll give you that one, I guess.
All right, that's fine. I got no... Okay.
Can't dispute that logic.
I really can't. So we got to see Frankenstrike. That was cool.
He was already in the episode where he turned all those electric aliens.
Yeah.
And your point is...
We got to see him again. The fuck is wrong with you, asshole? So I forgot he was there before. What of it?
I don't know.
I like the opening, though. That was cool.
It got creepier.
They have, like, some of those new aliens in there. Well, I know one of them is called Vampire.
Yeah. I remember seeing the name. I didn't know.
I'm not sure, but the one dude that's, like, jumping in the opening and he's got, like, a glowing gut, I think that's Gutrot. Just because I've seen the name Gutrot passed around a lot, and that just makes sense because of his gut glowing. Probably more like rotting, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I'm excited to see some new aliens.
Anybody else have flute music?
No.
I feel like we just walked into that game Ethan got trapped in Dino Thunder.
That's funny.
But yeah, it was an okay episode. It was kind of an odd episode to come back on, but I guess they're doing this whole Galactic Monsters bit.
Like, I wish it was explained a little bit better. Like, it just kind of was like, all of a sudden, bam, everything's about monsters now. I'm like,
its whole vibe with the theme song and everything would have fit so much better during, like, October.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't like Zombozo. I mean, isn't that Mark Hamill? I mean, I like Mark Hamill, but I don't like Zombozo.
I didn't know it was Mark Hamill.
I thought it was.
I just really don't. His Omniverse design creeps me out. He's like missing pieces of skin and shit.
You can see his ribs.
That's what really bothers me. Let me see. I'm going to look this up right fucking now. Why can't I upload a fucking video on YouTube? I hate YouTube.
Hunter's a Wiccan, and he did his Wiccan powers. Aerosol, come back. He's going in and out.
His connection died again, I think.
He said, I think the murder train fixed my Skype connection, and then he thanked it, and then it ran over. Here's
John DiMaggio.
Oh.
It's a funny name. Sounds like Joe Pesci's alternate. There he is. Oh, never mind.
He plays Wrath.
Wrath? Wrath showed up in this episode.
Wrath was the highlight of this episode for me.
I was in and out at the end because I was really tired when I watched this. I remember Kaylee watched it. She's sleeping right now, so I can't ask her what happened.
Like, Wrath was seriously great in this. Well, I mean, he's always great. That's nothing new, but... I don't... Oh, Wrath.
They had a really good line about, like, when they were essentially making him perform circus tricks, and he was like, let me tell you something, Zombozo's people or whatever. He's like, I do not appreciate the irony of this or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was a pretty funny line.
Yeah, I love when he was jumping through the flaming hoop. It was just... I mean, like, he couldn't help himself. Like he's like, son of a bitch! But yeah. Who do we have?
What do we have coming up in these next episodes?
And what do you know, though? The Zombozo escaping was all Larry's fault. Classic Larry.
Classic Larry.
Can he Photoshop his life with better decisions?
What's a Ziscare? How do you say that? Next week. It says
that's Ghost Freak's name.
Oh, and Darkstar are going to be back next week.
Ghost Freak has a really cool new design. It's all like chained and shit.
Really? I want to see it.
Just search bondage and you'll find it.
Well, I mean, I'm probably seeing it already. You are disgusting.
Just search Ghost Freak bondage. I'm curious what comes up.
You are disgusting.
I wonder if anybody has a ghost fetish. I bet somebody does.
A ghost fetish. Like, cool. how would that even...
Exactly.
What is wrong with you?
I have no idea.
I forgot how weird Ghost Freak was in Ultimate Alien. Or in Alien Force.
What do you mean?
Because he kind of had that stripe pattern going on, and it kind of looked like he had a hoodie, except he didn't. And his head was upside down.
That's the his like true form when he unleashes his skin.
I know, but I hate it.
Okay. I wonder how they're gonna bring him back because, you know, the last time we saw him the last time we saw him, Ben trapped him in the Omnitrix, but the Omnitrix exploded. So I'm curious how they're gonna bring him back.
I don't know.
He only transformed into him like one time after that as when he had the Ultimatrix, and his design was pretty much the same in Ultimate Alien, except it was white or something. But I really like his new design.
Could he be just a different DNA scan?
It's possible it's a different DNA scan of the same guy, because that's how he survived in the first place. Is he, his personality retained on it, or maybe he like flew out of it? I don't know. He's a ghost. He uses ghost powers. Obviously, it'll have to be explained.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it would need to be. That's, I mean, he was in the fucking Omnitrix that exploded. You gotta, you know, you need a bit of explanation for that. You know, just come back like, oh, hey, guys, sorry, I was taking a nap.
Right?
That's what family means.
But yeah, I'm glad it's back. It wasn't the best episode to come back on, but I'm looking forward to seeing more episodes. It'll be cool to see some new aliens in the next few episodes, and I know that I think for this arc, or maybe the next one, it's leading to episode where we're going to visit some of the other universes again. I think there's a plot with, like, what's his name? Eon teaming up with somebody to, like, destroy Ben in all times, and we're going to see a bunch of them.
Yeah, isn't it Vilgax?
Probably.
I think I saw that on Wikipedia. It was Vilgax.
Vilgax is always teaming up with bitches.
Yeah, it's Vilgax. I'm looking at it right now. Eon and Vilgax team up to wipe out Ben in every dimension. Hey, look at the aerosol.
He got picked up by the murder train. Yay!
I like how you died right after you thanked it for like fixing it. It's like as if it came back and rolled over you.
Yeah.
The murder train?
I guess it didn't like me mentioning it on Twitter.
Nope. Doesn't want to know about
it. It's trying to stay hidden.
So we were just talking about Ben 10. Do you have anything to add about the episode?
This whole monsters thing is oddly Halloween-ish.
Yeah, I mentioned that. That would work so much better for October instead of February, which is like the most awkward of all months.
It was funny that they brought Halloween up in February. Ben's fear of clowns again, though.
And it was all started by Max, apparently. I like that montage of like 5-year-old Ben, and they just kept showing him screaming over and over again. I honestly thought they were gonna like eventually cycle up to like some events from the original series, like him being scared of clowns, or some random events when he was in Alien Force clothes or something, just like showing him continuously being afraid all throughout his ages.
Yeah, but I enjoyed how his shirt just had 5.5 on it.
Yeah, I think that appeared once before when they showed his first encounter with that guy whose car he keeps destroying.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. I don't remember that, but that's just, it's just funny to me. Like he just went around as a child with his age on his shirt.
Then he just stopped when he got 10. He's like, yeah, I like that number.
It rhymes better.
Yeah. So we never really mentioned the fact that Topic appeared again.
Oh yeah. Because he essentially defeated Ghost Freak by accident. Because Ben was busy being scared, and then he just opened his
Zumbozo.
Gates up. What did I say?
Ghost Freak.
You said, yeah, you
son of a bitch. This is just like, what did I mess up earlier? It was really dumb. Or maybe it was yesterday. Oh, yeah, I kept calling Splinter Shredder. It's Red Shredder, and I just kept saying it. Brian's like, what? Oh, that's good. That would be a brilliant segue into Turtles, probably.
Yes, it would, because I don't really have anything to add. How trippy as shit was this episode?
Oh my god, it was the total acid trip.
Like, before we start talking about how trippy it was, I do want to commend them on, like, just the entire design direction in this episode. Because a lot of the transitions they did between the hallucinations was really cool. And so I have to give them props to make a really kind of visually entertaining episode.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you feel like you're on some sort of hallucinogen.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I bet you did.
Look, I love, like, Mikey's scared of squirrelinoids and Raph's scared of cockroaches.
Cockroaches?
I agree with Raph. Cockroaches are frightening. I like how Donnie's was that April hates him.
Like, he didn't have anything else to be scared of except the friend zone.
Oh, yeah, like, she just starts rubbing up on Casey and his nightmares. She's like, no! I thought that was funny. But, it was really fun.
This is one of those episodes where, like, Leo saves the day, and I just feel like the same people that consistently bitched about Daigo always saving the day would bitch about Leo always saving the day.
Yeah.
Even though he really doesn't, I just feel like they would bitch about it anyway. But people are the worst, so.
They had a little mustache and everything.
Yes, indeed. I want like, the Mouser pack for the toys. I want a pack of little fungus dudes.
Oh, God. I would probably be scared to buy it.
They're adorable, kind of.
No. 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 No.
No adorable.
No adorable. My ball adorable.
Why did Dawson die?
I did.
Oh, damn it.
I went to the water closet. I was thirsty.
The water closet?
That's what they call it somewhere, which makes no sense. That just seems like where you'd store your emergency water.
Yeah, that's what we call it at work, is a water closet. I never heard that until I started working there.
I feel like where they call it the loo, it's just like, it's like an insult to some guy, Lou, going like way back. And like, we didn't even realize it. He was like their Jerry.
Like, some people call it the John.
Yeah, that's what I'm so much talking about. Like, it's like the dude in freaking Men in Tights. Like, all the toilets in the kingdom shall be known as John's.
You can thank Patrick Stewart for that one.
I love
the engage.
Patrick Stewart is the man. Patrick Stewart does one-arm push-ups.
She's laughing at your Patrick Stewart fandom.
Look, I'm just upset because he didn't go to Comic-Con last year. He was supposed to be there, and he couldn't. I really wanted to meet him because he's awesome.
There. You'll get your time to shine.
And then I couldn't even meet Bill Wheaton.
Man, nothing goes your way, Kevin.
At least you could eat Wheaties.
It's not the same as Will Wheaton.
We both got Wheat in the title.
Yeah. Does it matter where you get it from?
But I love Will Wheaton.
He's not even from Star Wars. My argument.
That's it for Ramble Time, I think.
Pussy!
I haven't watched anything or played anything worth talking about, so.
So, you know, I was listening to old episodes of this podcast. And I'm about 20 episodes back now because I've caught up. Right when I started catching up, I was like 52 episodes behind. Now I'm only 20, so we're getting there. And Dawson, I think at one point Dawson made mention of the Japanese Iron Chef. And everyone here was like, I've never seen this program before. And Dawson was laughing when they kept saying, he's talking about how they kept saying, Cuisine.
Yeah.
I watched that show.
They would say that like every 3 seconds. Like, I would always have a question.
It was funny. That was a hilarious program because it made no sense. It made no, because they dubbed it over, but the dubbing was like bullshit. Like it, they had to get like fake laughing because Japanese people are always laughing. Like they always like the guests on there coming to like taste test things. And you got these chicks on there and they do that like cover their mouth with their hand giggle like Asian women do because they're not allowed to be seen laughing in front of men. And like, so they're doing that, and so they gotta like make like this, like whoever's doing the dubbing do like this fake shitty laugh to like fit with what's happening on screen. It just always sounded stupid.
Cuisine. Yes, what's your question, sir?
And then the best part is that when they started doing it, they didn't show the show from the beginning. They started with the last episodes first. Like
they did it like we do.
Yeah, they did it exactly like they, like you know how with season 3 of MNPR, we did all the Megazords backwards from what Japan did for Cock Ranger. That's exactly what we did here. Is it like the first episodes they showed of Iron Chef? They had four Iron Chefs, one of them being Morimoto, who's actually the third Iron Chef Japanese. There were like two other old guys before him.
Man, the plot must make no sense.
And then Iron Chef French Sakai, he was the second Iron Chef French. Like, they randomly added the Italian dude. Like, the Italian Iron Chef wasn't even there at the beginning. It was just, there was Iron Chef French, who wore green. I forgot what his name was. His name like Yonet Mora or something. I don't know. He had some kind of weird name. And then they had Iron Chef Blue. Like the Japanese guy wore blue. It was Iron Chef Blue.
Who's the Sentai team?
Iron Chef Green.
He only cooks in blue food items. Ishinabe. They showed them all at one point. They had all the Iron Chefs stand together for like some kind of special thing.
They love blue raspberry.
It was. Honestly, I'm looking at it right now. So Iron Chef, Rokusaburo Michiba. That's what his name was. He was the first Iron Chef Japanese, and then like he left, and they had Iron Chef Nakamura, which they barely even showed. Like here, he was the second Iron Chef Japanese. He wore purple, and then. Then they had meanwhile the Iron Chef Chinese guy, he just was always there. He was in every fake fucking episode. Like, hey guys, I'm here. And then they just randomly added like Iron Chef Italian just because.
Well, our Iron Chef Italian was Mario Batali, not Mario Moto. Yeah. That's when they did the fusion dance in the one episode, and they were Asian with Crocs. That was pretty much what they did.
Like, and then they had like the whole thing where like Bobby Flay went to Japan and like, they came here for like a New York battle with Bobby Flay. And he like, apparently, like, did you see that? He did it and they did it here and he, like, after he won, he beat Morimoto, he got up on the thing and I guess he wasn't even paying attention to what the fuck he was doing. He stood on the cutting board. And like apparently that's like an insult to the Japanese people. Here's this, you know, this fucking, you know, redheaded little schmuck who's like not even paying attention to what the fuck he's doing. This ginger ass. And there's Morimoto over there like, son of a bitch. He on the cutting board. He have no respect for kitchen tool.
And then he just cut off Bobby Flay's head with a katana. And that's how Bobby Flay died. Has anybody seen him since? I think not.
That's true. And then they had had a rematch and.
I haven't watched that show in forever, and I really feel like watching Iron Chef.
Well, you know that you have to.
I just want to watch Dragon Knight.
The Japanese version's on the Cooking Channel. It's not on Food Network anymore. It's on the Cooking Channel, which I think is like the same fucking channel. They just actually do cooking now instead of Like they do with the, it's kind of like how they made MTV, and then MTV stopped showing music, so they made MTV 2, which then showed music. It's kind of like that. Like Food Network doesn't really do what they started out doing. They just have all kind of like competitions. Well, even though I guess it's a competition, but they have all kind of like reality type shit. And Paula Deen. And then now,
just her doing whatever she does.
Like Paula Deen and Rachel Ray and like reality type shit. And then so they made the Cooking Channel where they actually fucking cook instead of just be like douchebags. So that's a thing. I just like watching the dude bite into the pepper every week.
I like how it almost seemed like this was a long-awaited sequel for like America. It's like he's the descendant of the original announcer or something like that.
Yeah, like that. Then you go on the internet and find, like, because you don't know, I'm like a retard. And I get on the internet and I'm like, wait, he's really not?
No! But the legacy, he was carrying it on.
I'm like, son of a bitch.
He's actually from Ventara, so.
Here's an episode of Stargate Atlantis where he went around beating the shit out of people. That was fun. I love that dude. That dude's awesome.
Atlantis.
And then how the fuck we have Iron Chef America. Those guys totally suck donkey boners. Like, we got Alton Brown in on this show. Like, I don't even know what
he's qualified. Alton Brown knows, like, a ridiculous amount about food. It's, like, ridiculous.
I think Alton Brown's kind of retarded. But, like, and then... Wow. I mean, I'm just saying...
Anyone, but...
And then, like... Because, like, we had to be, like, you know, we just had to, we couldn't give them, like, Iron Chef, whatever, like the Japanese show did. We just go, we have Iron Chef, fucking Mario Batali, he's the Iron Chef of being fat. And, like, Iron Chef Kat Cora, she's the Iron Chef of having a vagina. And, like, you know, Morimoto, he speaks Japanese.
We just imported him.
Because we needed an Asian for diversity. And, like, I don't know.
And they had that competition to see who the next Iron Chef, and that bald dude won.
They did it like 4 times. Yeah, they had Michael Simon, like
Michael Cera, the Iron Chef.
And that dude,
of being a douchebag. This
that dude, fucking retarded. Yeah, they did that a competition a few times though.
I just can't unsee like Michael Cera in Iron Chef setting.
I like when they did it on Futurama. They're like, "I ain't cuckoo." Bender had to go do it, and they just totally went over the top, and it was funny to me.
My dream Iron Chef would be McLovin, just because I want to see them introduce Iron Chef McLovin. He would specialize in McMuffins.
Iron Chef McLovin.
It's you, McMuffin. Anyway, now that we've gone over Iron Chef and Ramble Time, Eagle Otto's gonna have to make new title art for this Ramble Time Iron Chef.
I love that art.
Bob sitting on a cutting board with Morimoto behind him with a sword. And Michael Cera in a chef's hat.
Or it's Morimoto victorious with Bobby Flay's severed head in his hand.
Oh god.
What? That's an option. I'm just giving him ideas, throwing things out there.
You realize he would have already did it after.
Yes, I got that part. Thanks, fuckface.
Okay.
Cock smoking motherfucker.
I'm trying to figure out when I should start reading questions.
Now.
Just 10 go. Minutes ago.
Oh, me so horny.
Because now it's time for the Twitter questions of the week.
For now.
Like, no, when I was saying that, I was trying to figure out, like, when was the last question we read?
Oh. So I was just like, get me out of this so nightmare.
Okay, I think I,
this
I
is like when they're talking about McDreamy, but with food. Iron Chef McDreamy.
Me so horny.
Okay, so. We'll just go with it. Jeff asks, will you guys be mad if they don't explain why they're pirates in Super Mega Force? They've never mentioned uniforms much before.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting them to, and I don't really care if they do. I mean, like, the only time they really ever mention, like, their uniforms or their, like, motif is when it's, like, super forced, like Ninja Storm. They were in Ninja Academy, so it was kind of hard not to get the whole ninja thing.
Yeah.
Or, like, Dino Thunder and stuff, but when you're in a setting like Megaforce where they're trying so hard to be MMPR and they don't really have any sort of motif builder, I'm not really anticipating them going, hey, well, why the fuck we pirates? Like, I'm not really expecting that, and I don't really care. I mean, we know why. The kids probably don't care why, so it doesn't really...
Okay, what kind of ghost explanation would Ghost even give? Is he a huge Johnny Depp fan? Like,
I just really like pirates.
That would only be viable if it was still under Disney.
I'm on a huge Power Pirates Rangers. Of the Caribbean kick. Have Power Rangers. Ride a couple times.
I really like Orlando Bloom. He is sexy.
Unfortunately, he was not in the newest movie. I was upset.
That's why your key is green, Jake. I was distracted by my tears. Do you see any tears? Yes! Or Blando? That's like... or Blando Bloom. In. There we go. Blando. He was blubbering so much he couldn't even pronounce his name.
Alright, so Kiefer asks, in a parallel universe where everyone is reversed, how would you imagine your counterparts to be and who would be running the RR podcast? I imagine Shuki would be this completely repellent businessman who launches a giant propaganda campaign against the selling of cheese and collects nothing but GoBots. He would also have no friends instead of all of them. Well, you got me down, so I'm just going to sit back and relax.
Well, in the alternate universe, Dawson can read.
I would be like super happy and cheery and like love life and like be constantly reading and trying to do math.
And he's super intelligent.
He lives in a library. He's never even heard of television.
Oh god, it sounds like a nightmare world. That is the darkest timeline.
I think Kevin would just be me.
Yeah, I would be nice and friendly and everyone would love me. That'd definitely be alternate reality me.
Kevin would be one of those guys that flips out every time someone says a curse word.
That'd be Dawson. Oh my god.
Come on, watch your language.
Watch your language.
Apparently, Kevin's gay too.
That sounds just like me.
Gay? Yeah.
Harrison would just never get in danger. He would be like part of the most troll.
He'd be the most boring person ever. Like,
his neighbor would be alive. No, in the alternate universe, the father killed the son with a machete.
What?
Oh, shit. Kevin wasn't even sure of that.
Kevin hasn't gotten to that part yet.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
I was legit
going
to let Kevin catch up to see his reaction.
You'll get there someday, kiddo.
I'm trying. This fucking 4-hour one I was just on was a killer.
We had a couple of those.
It was a fucking 4-hour podcast because I think that was when we did the end of Wizard or something. And then we had like two Wizard fucking discussions.
Oh, yeah, because you like fell asleep or didn't make it or whatever and I felt bad.
I went to sleep and so I had my own separate Wizard discussion. Do you know how long it took to listen to two Wizard discussions, one of which I was in?
Did you do that for Carriager?
No.
Okay. Just like, whatever.
No. I was just in that 1 hour.
He got in at Tessa. I mean, that's enough.
Yeah, I actually got in at a fairly decent part.
He got in at Ranger number 9?
8.
Damn it. I counted Derf.
Plus, everyone knows how I feel about the other ones. Ramirez is the sex. The other ones are fun. I really don't care about the rest of them. Ramirez is awesome. That's the bottom line here. Okay, so seriously, how do I make Ami Ami not ask for my money in like 24 hours? It was fucking ridiculous.
Buy something that's backwards.
Somebody told me to buy an LBX.
Just buy a backordered LBX.
Just buy a Lucifer, because it's funny when you say stuff Lucifer like, oh, Lucifer's here.
I just haven't built Lucifer, but he's here. He's just in pieces.
Do you imagine, Kaylee? What is that? That's Lucifer. Oh, yay, Lucifer!
This has wonderful. To happen now.
3-year-old gets excited over Lucifer. Yay, Lucifer! Don't think you should be saying that. Goes around the table. My daddy got Lucifer.
My daddy built Lucifer today. Calls authorities.
Knock, knock, knock. Child services. I don't think it's very right for you to serve as a child, sir. I would step away.
Okay, let's see. We answered Fives Daniel's question last episode, so... I don't know if this was asked before, but I'm going to ask it again anyway. Andrew Booth asks, what is your favorite Sentai changer, and why is Yet your favorite? No! See, even they know how poor grammar that was.
My favorite Sentai changer is the pistol used to shoot Abraham Lincoln. Is that not what we're doing anymore? We stopped that joke? No one told me?
It pops up every now and then.
Okay, good.
I'm just going over changes mentally in my mind right now, so...
What was the question?
Sentai changer, what's your favorite?
Favorite? I kind of like the Geki changers. Like, just simply because they're really inconspicuous, and they just... I mean, like, no, they look like gloves. Like, especially, like, the show version, it just looks like they're wearing gloves. Like, obviously the toy version looks fucking stupid because they didn't put a glove part on it.
Corey Gong's is the gong changer.
But, like, as much as I like those regular wrist changers, it's always, like, looks like you're wearing a giant fucking watch, like, or something. Like, what? Like a Ninja Storm.
That was her excuse in Ninja Storm.
Like, look at that watch. Like, really? Like, that's obviously not a fucking watch. Where do you see? You see a clock on there?
Why does yours look like a beetle? People keep trying to swat it off your arm. Look out!
Yeah, like, as cool as some of the designs might be, it always just comes off looking, like, cumbersome and stupid.
Cam's was just a ball.
Here. He had a necklace, at least.
But see, his was okay because it could shrink down and be a necklace, so I was alright with that.
Dominic's was a stupid tourist bracelet.
It turned into an awesome blade. That is Watch true. This. Boop. Blade. Fake MPH.
Part of me wants to say the SP license, just because I really like how kind of unique it is.
Yeah, I do like that one.
But realistically speaking, I want to say either the Morphin Blaster or the Gabu Revolver, just because I really like weapon changers. I think they're really practical. Oh, okay. So, I mean, the Morphin Blaster, you have the fact that it can turn into a phone, too, so it's useful and practical.
It's all purpose.
In terms of, like, design and function, I like the Gabu Revolver a lot more. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Function.
Super cooking.
The X Cellular was pretty good. I like that one. I know you're not a Bokenger fan, Brian, but I like the X Cellular.
You have a blue light and you're like, look, jizz.
Shh.
I like the X Cellular because it says bagel.
What's fun is when you when you shine that black light on your face.
Oh, Lord.
And you see all like the on your face. That's what's fun.
That's what's coming.
Like you look when you look in the mirror and do it. So like, is it on the mirror? Is it on my face? What? Too much?
A little bit. I don't even know what you said. I wasn't listening.
Talking about using a black light to see jizz that's been on your face.
Chenix, I forgot. Aerosol hasn't answered yet.
Oh, you guys pretty much covered all of the.
Aerosol's favorite changer is the Death Train, apparently.
He likes the Tokyo Changer because it's a Death Train. It will just talk you to death. Alright, so Chenix asks, we have had a lot of crazy gimmicks in the past few years, haven't we? With this question, what crazy off-the-wall gimmick do you think will be next? Personally, I would like to see bouncy balls powered by happiness. That sounds like something Precure would do. And they did bouncy balls with Gower Ranger, technically, so...
Yeah.
Let's see. Something really stupid.
Even though you had to buy those Super Balls from Mr. S to get the bouncy ball version, like, the mecha just came with little statues that you could put in the crystal that came with the sword or the dagger or whatever the fuck they called it.
They should do locks and keys. Those are really weird.
They could do a cooking-themed Sentai and have the main toy gimmick be like salt and pepper shakers.
Oh my god, yes. yes. Silverware.
The Third Rider is silverware.
They fight with forks and spoons. They don't fight with knives because that would make too much sense.
That would be amazing.
The Six Ranger can fight with knives because he's cooler than everyone else.
No, Six Ranger can fight with a spork.
We combine the two. They could do a hardware Sentai, and all the gimmicks are like screws and nails.
It's sponsored by the Home Depot. It's
sponsored by Tim Allen. Tim Allen's a mentor.
He just spends the whole time going, ho, ho, ho.
They could do a plumber Sentai. Or a writer, whatever we're doing. I don't know. I can't remember. They could do one about the air conditioning repair school.
You have those two? Well, I guess every...
All the writers can be different kinds of pipe. One's cast iron, one's PVC, and one's copper.
What's awful is I see some of these actually happening. I mean, we do have fruit locks right now, so...
I would have never guessed that. Like, maybe if we got one of these questions, you could think, like, huh, fruit? Or, I don't know if I would have went to locks, but not all these combined. Fruit locks and warriors and Michi's creepiness.
Michi is a creepy fuck.
What kind of weird thing can we put with the salt and pepper shakers?
Condoms.
Solger. Solger. Don't forget Solger.
Planet-themed salt and pepper shakers. It's cooking on other planets. That's the basis of the show.
I was trying to figure out what we could do with planets, because planets in space, like...
Planet cereal. Because they're already round. If we get, like, kicks. I don't
just
know.
Stop.
You know what? My cereal-based planet Sentai is going to be amazing. They're more than good. They're great.
I hate you.
Get it? Because of Tony?
No, I got it. Thanks.
Idiot. I want a clown Sentai where their changers are their noses. There.
Mermaid Sentai. You get different seashell bras. Each one's based on one of Ariel's sisters.
So anyway, this is a different question from Feist Daniel, but... So do you think in today's modern era, collectible gimmicks and toys are the keys to success for any toku series, and do you feel that that trend should end?
I don't think it will.
It shouldn't end because when they tried to make it end, it failed. So I don't think they're going to make it end anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's working for them.
And I hope the way I said failed could convey the use of air quotes.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear him. Can you do him again?
Hold on. There we go.
Okay, I heard it that time. Like, I really had to listen for it, but I got it. But yeah, it seems to be working for them, so I really don't see it going away.
Yeah, I mean, until it stops working, until they, you know, pick the wrong gimmick and so it stops working, and then they decide all gimmicks are terrible from now on, because that's what they did with figure arts, is, oh, look, these guys sold like shit, so all of them will now sell like shit. Let's make them all exclusive.
Seriously, though, how ahead of their time were Engine Souls? Like, they were like the original Gaia Memories or Lockseed, but no one made a big deal about it, and the next gimmick after that was discs. How dumb.
I love those discs. Fuck your mother.
They're like little plates with a hole through
them. Kevin, to be fair, you like everything.
No. I don't like everything. I don't like switches.
You bought that Switch rack.
You have the Switch rack. You have all the switches.
I bought the Switch rack because I needed some place to store my switches, and it came with the core switch, and I needed Kengo in my life.
Okay.
There they are.
Wonderful excuse.
You know what? Fuck you. I like my Switch rack, okay?
So Edgar Queck asks, have you ever needed to hide an account from a boss or teacher? That's why my Facebook is now Johnny Jojo.
Attention to Jojo.
No, it's my Facebook. Fuck off.
Yeah, no, I don't hide things. I am Jesus.
And honestly, I mean, I don't put anything on my Facebook that.
Yeah, I am Jesus, and I don't tap. I don't tap. So all right.
I try not to put too much stuff on my Facebook, and most of it's blocked from public use and stuff because I've had teachers and bosses and stuff who snoop around and.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what he looks like. So
pretty fickle about stuff like that. So, yeah,
I do. My account's set to friends only, so.
I don't know what mine's set to. I don't think I bothered to adjust any of the settings.
Even if I didn't, I don't put anything on there that's bad.
Yeah, I almost never comment or like anything. Or I think the only thing I did recently was I shared that one thing because it had the donut shop owner.
Being chased by a dinosaur.
Being chased by a velociraptor, so. And this is the only reason I shared it is because he was in it. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have, but I just don't do anything like that on Facebook. I don't, you know, so. I've never felt the need to block anything.
The biggest reason I do is just. my chosen career path is kind of fickle about stuff like that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, like, see, for me, all my stuff that's on there is already public knowledge to anyone who knows me, so. Like, no one's gonna go on there and go, oh my god, he likes Star Wars? Are you fucking serious? No, they already know that.
I really like this question. TKDT Gray asks, I've been watching too many comedies the past few weeks, so what comedic actors would play you guys in the RR movie remake for theatrical release? My opinion, Shuki is either Kevin James or Ramirez. Kevin James from Here Comes the Boom just to see Shuki fight JDF. Dossum is definitely Steve Carell since he has similar jokes to Dossum and shares Dossum hair tips. Kevin can be Jim Carrey, only actor that could get the random dick comments and sound funny. Since I have no idea what aerosol looks like, I'm going to say Hugh Jackman because he's Wolverine, and who else has such a dangerous filled life with metal bones?
You know what's funny is that also Steve Carell in Anchorman can't read. And Brick is similarly retarded to Dossum, and he wears glasses, so there you go. But actually, when I was reading this, because I read this one, he posted it on Twitter. As I was reading it, I'm thinking, my first thought was Jim Carrey. I keep reading it, and I'm like, well, son of a bitch.
I'm perfectly okay with being played by Kevin James, honestly. I get to be a mall cop.
I think Steve Carell's pretty good, too. I wouldn't mind being Chris Pratt. Although, apparently, I'm sort of a weird fusion between Ron and April and Tom, whatever that looks like. I'm just like a long-haired Indian with a mustache. And I just keep saying, Sparkle Suds, dress loud, and then I eat a bunch of steak.
I don't know what to say anymore.
What is getting glitter and butter as much as it did. Spread the party.
So I just heard a train. I don't know how far away train tracks are from me, but I just heard a train. And now, because of aerosol, all I can think of when I hear a train whistle is like death. So I get scared when I hear a train. It's like, oh shit, it's coming for me.
That's what I think of when the trains go off in my area too. Like, hey, murder train's coming to visit me. Except I get legit happy about it.
That a murder train's coming to get you. You're like, oh, sweet, murder train's coming for me. Yeah. Like,
oh, death time. I'd like to answer the question more, except I really don't have anything else. I'm perfectly happy with the Kevin James suggestions. So,
yeah, well, like Jim Carrey.
I want to be played by Bryan Cranston because he's bald.
Well, Jim Carrey always does those like rubber face like expressions, and he's just generally insane. So I like that. As I like doing that.
And I think Kevin can be played by Jam.
Jam.
Yeah.
Either that, or I would want
jammed.
No, either, or you can get Gabriel Iglesias to be me. Why? Just because. I think it would be funny that I am played by a big fat Mexican.
And what's funny is my long-haired Indian with mustache.
I guess so.
Yogurt but, premium.
But I similarly like chocolate cake, though.
So, Corey Gong says, with the new Transformers or superhero building toys from Hasbro, what do you think about a similar line except at a mini scale plus soft? what is wrong what with me?
Donzo?
Soft plastic. Oh. I'm not really sure what exactly you're referring to.
I don't understand the
line of toys you're referring to. I don't know.
I don't.
They're the hero mashups or whatever they're calling them. Basically, think the PR Ben 10 toys that they made with the mix and morph.
Oh, okay.
Except at a larger scale, like a 5-inch figure.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make like a Spider-Man head with an Iron Man body and Captain America arms.
Oh, I did see those. I did see those.
Okay. And that they're doing it for Transformers now for some reason or another.
What's the question?
I don't know.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
So I'm just kind of going to wing it here.
Red Robin.
Yeah.
I don't really like those toys all that much. Like, I'm for customization where it makes sense. Like, I'm fine with it with, like, Megazords or, like, a Metabots or LBX kind of thing. But when you start doing weird things with the superheroes, like, my brain can't really comprehend that.
Transformers but Spider-Man is and Iron Man.
Okay.
Oh.
But even Transformers get a little weird because
of the, like, transforming
they're,
part.
They're Transformers. They're supposed to transform. And I'm okay with certain toys that don't transform, but it still has to look coherent enough to where it could actually make something. And so when you start making like an Optimus Prime body with Bumblebee legs and Megatron arms, you just kind of look at it and go, what the fuck is going on? So I don't really like, I can't say I don't like, like I said, I don't like that line of toys. I just don't like it when they're in genres that don't make sense. If you're asking if you could incorporate it in Toku, unless you were doing, like, Megazords, no, don't do that, please. They did it once, it was awful.
Because you enjoyed it, you bought it.
I didn't buy any of the Mix and Morph ones.
I thought you did.
The only thing I bought was the Morpher, because it was the only way to get a Tommy-looking Morpher at the time. And then you had to paint it, and I never painted it. That was my life then.
I was there. I've always been there in the background of Brian, secretly watching him with my hand in my pants.
Secretly. It wasn't a secret. I saw you right there.
Shit.
We locked eyes in a battle ensued.
I love how you say we locked eyes. It was like a great delivery. We locked eyes.
We locked eyes while my hand was in my pants. That's what made
it
better.
To be fair, your hand's always in your pants. So
well, I'm sorry. It's comfortable. So that's a warm, comfy place to be.
Good times on the show. So that is it for our questions this week.
Well, that's fun.
And now it's time for
Final Thingies!
The actual version! Can you believe it?
I have a thingy, it's not final.
This is like seeing an endangered species.
There's an S on that word, you idiot.
I like it being a species, it sounds adorable. Who's a little species? Who's a little species?
Well, it's just a singular endangered species.
Species
a word?
Species? No, species is singular and plural, you idiot.
You're a species. Species is a word. No, fuck you. Species is a word.
You can say species, now it sounds weird. Anyway, look out for the Facebook question at some point. It'll probably be terrible. But answer it anyway.
Most things you do are terrible.
True that.
Art refers to money. No wonder I like the word specie.
What? Oh.
Money in the form of coins rather than notes. Ah, coins are sweet.
Because you can just throw it at strippers and make it hail instead of rain.
I wish pennies were an endangered species. Pennies are the worst.
Seriously,
especially when you get inside your vagina.
That makes it smell all coppery.